internet, and welcome to the number two. This is number two. We're undefeated so far at the Wrasslecast on NitroBeer.com, as presented by the Power Hour. I'm your host, Wes Gardner, and since it's the Wrasslecast, you know who's with me. It's the internet and NitroBeer.com's one and only Mark Bradshaw.
Let me tell you, brother, I am excited to be back here in the Silver Dome. WWE Network. Oh, God. I'm so old. WWF. Oh, no. Brother. Where's Jeff Jarrett? Oh, brother.
Oh, Mean Gene.
brother.
Oh, we are here to talk about WrestleMania 30 and the post-WrestleMania Raw.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were here to talk about Jeff Jarrett's Global Wrestling Federation.
Right? Oh, that's true.
It's wrestling.
So weird.
Everything has changed.
Everything. Sir. Even the logo with the globe, where it's a globe shape, but the map is flat. Like, it's very weird.
The hilarious thing was I saw, like, a comparison shot between Jeff Jarrett's new federation. I don't know why we're talking about this in WrestleMania. So Jeff Jarrett introduced a new wrestling federation yesterday. It's Global Force Wrestling. And it's like, apparently he decided like TNA needs to die. Don't get me wrong, he's probably right. But the logo for this, if you Google up the old World Championship Wrestling logo back before they would like got bought out by Ted Turner, it's the same logo.
Yeah.
It's like the globe with just like blettering in front of it. He's so fucking cheap.
Yep.
He literally just got some dude to just mash this up. You got like his like little nephew or something. This matches it.
Yeah.
Give you like a 20. Give me a logo and here you go.
Like someone who made his old GeoCity site made his logo.
Yeah. You got a copy of I don't know like Photoshop Elements and now we got.
Yeah. Went to Barnes and Noble to how to Photoshop for Dummies. Learned how to do the bevel and emboss filter, and then isn't it like a weird like gunmetal look thing to the font? It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's very like mid 90s. Not even like the good 90s like people like. It's the lame part of the 90s that involved Milli Vanilli and MC Hammer. The bad 90s. I'm just glad AJ Styles can find work again.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla didn't want him, TNA didn't want him, Ring of Honor didn't want him. So now he has a home. And that's always good to see.
I know where he won't have a home. WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Oh, that would be the day, huh?
Sure.
But
let's talk about WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, I think we gave Jeff Jarrett's new promotion more airtime than Jeff Jarrett did.
I think probably, like, you, Jeff Jarrett, if you're listening to this or you have people listening, you owe us money. This is the most promotion you'll ever get.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Unless you get, like, Kenta from Japan. You know, you get some of those Japanese guys to come over, then I'll be.
The only Japanese guys are like, they're going to go to like ROH or like Dragon's Gate or something, like something where people actually, the fans will actually watch. Don't get me wrong, like, he'll get like a bunch of like Southern dudes, and it'll be really cool if you're super into like just Mid-South Southern wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's great, but there's no money in that. So
it's true.
It's crazy he's like doing this the big of a blowout for it.
So what you're saying is we're going to see Jim Cornette there.
God, I hope that'd be great. Jim Cornette probably hates him, though.
Probably so. I wouldn't doubt it.
Jim Cornette hates everybody.
He does, and God love him. WrestleMania, I swear we're going to get to it. The biggest show of the year, and we're talking about all of our things we grew up with.
It's a great show. Jim Cornette needs to show up at WrestleMania. That'd be
man. Get a Jim Cornette guy.
Oh. So, before WrestleMania, we had the Hall of Fame. I didn't actually watch it, but I think the best development of the Hall of Fame was the realization that Mr. T has a son, and his son's name is T Jr.
Not only that, dude is getting his master's degree. Like, look at that degree. Like, imagine it framed up on, like, I don't know what he's getting his master's in.
Yeah.
Let's
see. Magna cum laude, and it says T Jr. And presumably, like, maybe he, like, kept in character, and, like, his last name is T, so Mr. T Jr. T.
Oh, man. Oh, and it's one of the big plaques. You know how they have the frame that are, like, outrageously big for the actual certificate inside of it?
Yeah.
That's what I imagine it in.
They're going to call him up and say, oh, receiving his diploma. I'd never like finished college. And now receiving his diploma, Mr. T, Jr. T. And then pomp and circumstance plays and goes.
They do the little, what's it called? The little dealio hanging from your hat and you put it off to the other side.
That's the mortar. Yeah, like he just moves the little tassel to the other side.
Tassel, that's what it is. Oh, man. Oh, but not only that, Jake the Snake Roberts' speech was the most soul-crushing speech of that whole thing. He was talking about what a terrible human being he was.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it was, but I mean, it was honest. It was, like, really good. And
see, that's why I didn't watch it, because I knew it was going to be so depressing. They would have Jake up there, and they would have they'd have Razor Ramon up there, and like he actually watched a little bit of his speech. It was actually pretty good because he kept replaying it. And of course, they would do like the memoriam to Paul Bearer, and this is just going to be so depressing.
Yeah.
And also Mr. T. So yeah, it was going to be just sad.
And I think the worst. This just shows. This is kind of encapsulating the booking of a lot of WWE, not necessarily lately, but they had the Jake the Snake thing, right? Literally right after that, Jerry Lawler walks out, and then Hornswoggle runs out and starts screaming, like, on stage. And then the Bull, El Torito, comes out and headbutts Jerry Lawler in the crotch.
Great.
Yeah, this was the Hall of Fame.
There's actually, like, media people there. This is supposed to be, like, their solemn event, the one thing that matters for their bullshit Hall of Fame that doesn't actually exist in a physical form. But, like, the most solemn, sacred event of the year.
Yeah.
And Jerry King Lawler is getting headbutted in the nuts by the little midget dressed up like a bull.
And then their segue was, oh, our next person is Mr. T. Like, that was the whole bit. Like, they couldn't find a segue for Mr. T because, I guess they didn't think he was of any importance whatsoever. So they had the Bull just headbutt him in the crotch, and then they're like, now Mr. T! And I don't know.
Here's what we think of you. Thanks for all you've done for our company.
But then Mr. T got him back by just talking for 45 minutes about his mom. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, how was the Ultimate Warrior's speech? Did he manage to cost the company money defending like somebody? Because I would assume that was going to happen. He was just going to start talking about how he hates whatever horrible group he hates now.
He a little bit, and then it was one of those to where he would slightly go off the rails for a second, and then he'd come right back on him because he knew people were paying attention. I guess
because of the cocaine.
Yeah, but then we'll talk about it on Raw. He came back and showed his face on Raw, and then all of it just boiled forth, I guess. I don't know. Ugh. Oh, but the Hall of Fame was a success. I did like the fact that whenever Lita was talking, she was talking about, wrestling in Mexico and getting her big break there. And then she had a luchador mask, and then she set it on the table. Not on, I guess it's a thing that you can't do that. It's like putting an American flag on the floor or something, because the moment she did it, all of the smart marks in the room started booing.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Like it was loud too. I was like, what's going on? And then I was like,
maybe it was like the admission that she wore a mask and like showing like the mask that she used to wear. Maybe that's something bad.
Cause no one really booed until she set it on the table next to her. So, like, I don't know what that rule is. Like, if anyone knows, I can send us a thing. But I don't know if they need, like, a pillow and put it on the pillow or...
Yeah, like can Lita appear in Mexico now without getting shot? Because
if all the white guys in New Orleans started booing, apparently it was very offensive. So...
The hilarious thing about the Lita thing, like, they only, like, they'll show, like, little clips of the Hall of Fame speech during, like, the rest of WrestleMania and during Raw. And the bit that they showed of Lita's part was where she just said, I don't know how any of this happened. And she looks, like, so fucking coked out of her mind. It's like, why do you guys hate Lita so much? She made a lot of money for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're just burying this poor girl.
Oh, and she had great stories. And then, but that was the thing they showed.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, well, I guess they couldn't show it about the Hardy Boys. You know,
I guess that'd been, I don't know, like at some point they want to make good with at least like, I don't know, Jeff Hardy, like at some point they want him back.
Yeah, yes. For sure. I would see that being a big deal. But Matt Hardy, I guess not so much, especially with his – apparently last month he had some domestic dispute stuff going on, and I don't know.
The less I pay attention, he, like, did his fake suicide threat, which wasn't really a suicide threat, and then he went back to wrestling again. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a mess. The whole family's kind of out of it.
Again, drugs.
Yeah.
Lots of drugs.
So many drugs. but after the Hall of Fame – we had WrestleMania. I have the WWE Network. Mark, do you have it?
Yeah, I watched it over the network, and I can say, like, I was impressed. It was rock solid. Like, it would drop a couple frames every once in a while, but for the entire show, it was really nice. And
yeah,
you know, it's worth like paying the $10. Like, I know, like used to be able to just like find the stream, and the stream would cut out, or the stream would like stutter, and like you would miss the finish to a big match, and like. Fine, if I'll pay $10 just to make that go out of my life forever.
Yeah, exactly.
To grow the rest of the stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, totally worth it.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I had some like sound hiccups, but other than that, yeah, it was smooth sailing the whole night. And I even had to, because I was taking care of Gracie, my daughter at the time, and like I had to pause it during the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match, and then it was super. It was just like Netflix. You just pause it, you go do your thing, and then you just unpause it, and like it didn't miss a beat. So. No, it was good, and I was actually really impressed that it was that stable, you know, because
this is literally like the worst case scenario for the, like, it's never going to get worse than this for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the weird thing was, like, HBO couldn't get like their stupid Go app to work properly on the same night when Game of Thrones came on. Like, it completely fucked up for a lot of people. Oh. So. I don't know how like WWE got this right when like HBO, which are presumably a company run by functional adults and not a bunch of carnies.
Yeah.
I don't know how this worked. It's a pretty good job though.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my weird things, the very first match of the night was the tag team championship match with the Usos versus Los Matadores, the Real Americans, and the Rybacksel or whatever they want to be called. And I didn't know how I felt about this being a title match on the pre-show.
Like, I think, okay, they shouldn't have called the pre-show. Just say we're starting at like at 7 o'clock or like a half hour early.
Yeah.
Just say it's on the show.
Yeah.
And then put like something like, I don't know, like the Shield, like Degeneration X fight that lasted 5 minutes. Put that on the pre-show if you have to anything on the pre-show.
Right, exactly. And because yeah, just. The belts, even though the belts didn't change hands, like...
Which was mind-blowing, considering it's like, the Usos aren't that great. Like, I'm not totally into them. I know the fans like them, the kids like them.
Yeah.
It's like, they're so fucking generic, and you have so many other people you can give that to. That'd be great. And the Usos win. Great.
Yeah.
That said, like, I know you said, like, you didn't like it being on the pre-show, but at least it was defended, you know? Like...
Yeah.
One of the three belts that were defended all night long.
That's true. That is weird. That there wasn't usually WrestleMania is kind of the night where everything's all on the line. But I guess they have Night of Champions for that.
Yeah, and that's going to. Do they still run Night of Champions? Did they run one this year?
I'm actually not. Or I think they did because that was one of the first pay-per-views where Daniel Bryan. Either had a belt and got it taken away, or something happened. If I'm remembering right, now I'm curious about that. But yeah, that started the show, and it was a decent match. I didn't know why even they had Los Matadores or Ryback and Curtis Axel there. Like, they did nothing.
Well, the Los Matadores there were there just to be the comedy routine, like to make the kids happy. So.
Yeah.
They're there. I mean, they serve their purpose. I mean, you had two like bad guy tag teams. You had two good guy tag teams. Even if like the entire crowd was cheering for the Real Americans the entire time, it's like there's a dynamic there. You have to have it. That said, like surely there was a more deserving tag team, like on like the face side than Los Matadores, right? I mean, they showed up like 2 months ago. And I know, yeah. Like, they're actually, like dudes that have been there for a while and actually, like, not even Mexican, which is kind of weird in and of itself. But they basically in storyline they showed up very recently, and now here they are fighting in a four way for the belt, the same belt that like Ryback stole and the Real Americans, who like had been trying to get it forever, are in.
Yeah. And yeah, because Los Matadores or Epico and Primo, who have had the belts back then, but yeah, I agree. And I think that they're, and we'll get to this whenever we get to Raw, but I think they may have done that because that's kind of the last shot they're going to get to do anything for a while, because a lot of the NXT tag teams are about to come up.
I hope so. Like, I really do hope that, because it needs a lot more. Like, there's so many like guys in like the mid card not really doing anything that you can just make a tag team. Like Ray, like he's a complete waste what he's doing right now.
I agree.
Just like, somebody and just have him tag team. He doesn't have to wrestle a lot. He can just be the guy that comes in like and like whoops ass and then tags out again.
Yeah, like, does his three moves and then.
Yeah.
And then
he gets a crowd into it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I enjoyed the match for what it was. I enjoyed the shenanigans of the Real Americans, even if it didn't really matter in the end. Because Zeb was like, no, we're not going to even stand on the apron. We're not going to tag in because we're heels and we're smart.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was pretty fun.
And it was a decent match. Like, everyone who was in the ring was competent. I mean, there wasn't, like, a bad hand in there. So it was a decent way to start off. I think it went on a little long, but I guess they had to fill all that time for a pre-show.
Yeah, and like I enjoy Ryback and his shenanigans as the big guy, so he's always fun like that.
Yeah, let's see. let's see. And match number two, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. The winner gets to go to the main event to make it a triple threat for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I thought this was probably match of the night overall.
Yeah, I mean, well, considering, like, the stuff that happened last, because, like, the main event had to work around the fact that Bryan had the Kel beat out of him by Triple H.
Yeah.
So Bryan couldn't really be into that very much. But no, it was a great match. I mean, it was, like, one of Triple H's best matches he's ever been in.
Yeah.
And certainly, like, the thing about Triple H is, like, he's super great as long as, like, he's wrestling, like, weird garbage matches. Or he's just like a steel cage match or something.
Yeah.
You very rarely see him just in a straight fight with somebody.
Right.
Which I thought was weird about this. It's like, okay, he's just going to get into a wrestling match with Daniel Bryan, and it worked out very well.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, he was Triple H was trained by Harley Race, who's kind of a master at that kind of strong hand style that, but Triple H never gets really either a chance to do it, or he just doesn't want to. Because you're right, you always see him in like a street fight, or. Yeah. Here's a match to where I'm going to throw you in a dumpster. Or, you know, they're going to make
cage.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
also, like, all the guys he's been fighting, like, recently have been, like, The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And we'll go into that later, but it's like, you can't really have a great match with those guys.
Yeah.
Because, not a straight match, because, you know, they're just big brawling dudes. They're just there, like, do their super moves, and, like, hopefully you survive. And it's just you doing your big move and them doing their big move.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, of course, you can't do that with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan can actually have a really good match with anyone in the world.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, literally is the best in the world, no matter what CM Punk wants to say.
I agree.
He literally is it, and he can do it with anybody. And, like, when you have somebody with Triple H who has all the experience he's had over the years, just wrestling different styles, and can tell an amazing story in the ring, it's like I know like the smart community is like Triple H, he's terrible, he buries everybody. He's really he tells a great story.
He does.
He's interesting to watch.
Yeah.
He doesn't put on a boring match ever.
Right.
It's like and he knows how to make you hate him.
Yes.
Which is such a great skill.
Yeah, and him having Stephanie out, perfect. Like,
God, Stephanie was so great. Oh. Just like just standing there just yelling at Bryan. Or doing little hand motions. And what I enjoy about Stephanie's to get up is like, okay, she comes out in like this like top and these leather shorts, and I think, okay, she's just going to get involved in this match. There's no reason for her to be wearing these ridiculous leather shorts unless she's going to be active. And she's wearing, like, these ridiculous high heels, so she can't do anything.
Yeah, it's just a fucking conundrum.
Yeah, and then later on, she gets, like, wiped out by Daniel Bryan. I'm convinced she broke her ankle right there, but no one said anything.
Yeah, no kidding. She was, like, walking on stilts. It looked
like.
But, and I agree. Triple H, for, as much shit as he gets for, he's just got these spots because he married into the family, like, whatever. Triple H, ever since he's been, even when in WCW, he was very good at pacing.
Yeah.
And
he's a Curtis guy who understands his limited skill set, and he knows how to work with that skill set. Yeah. He knows he's never going to have by himself an amazing technical match, but he can wrestle like any style you throw at him.
Yeah, he knows enough moves to look convincing. Like yeah. That's kind of his secret. Like you're right. He's wrestled so many people over so many years that whenever he gets in the ring, give him 2 or 3 minutes to warm up, and then you're gonna see him kind of adapt into it, kind of, you know, because he raised the speed of this match, because normally you're used to Triple H, you know, he can barely walk through a door frame because of how wide he is, but you saw him looking more agile. Yeah, you saw him doing high knees and things like that. So
he broke out the tiger suplex.
Yes.
For fuck's sake. Oh my god.
So good.
Like, how many people in the entire company could you trust with that? He's like, just lays out Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Die, bitch.
Right.
It was so great. Oh, it's like so a beautiful video game, like end boss. It was amazing.
Oh, it was so good. And the pacing of it, and you know, everyone kind of knew the outcome. I mean, my prediction was, yeah, Daniel Bryan was going to win because they've come too far with that story for to have him lose.
Well, the thing the community had in its head was that they're going to set it up so that Triple H would also be in the main event. Like, all four of them would be in there. Yeah. Like, either Triple H would, like, lose by disqualification or whatever, and the Hulkster would come out and say, no way, brother, we're not going to do that to Daniel Bryan, you're going in. And Triple H wrestled this long match. He, like, let Daniel Bryan, like, beat the crap out of him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Let Daniel Bryan, like, kick out of his finishers and lost clean and in a convincing fashion. And it's like, for all the shit we give, like, burying people, it's like, he just basically he made Daniel Bryan credible in everyone's eyes.
I agree.
Like, if there was any doubt in your mind, it was gone. Daniel Bryan just won clean over the boss.
Yeah, and I think you brought this up on Platformers whenever you said, who else has actually cleanly pinned both Triple H and John Cena?
Yeah.
Like, who's done it?
Yeah, and now he's done, like, Triple H, Orton, and John Cena in the same year.
Yeah.
There's no way he can say he's being buried.
Yeah.
Like, even before, like, everyone's saying, oh, they're disrespecting him, they're burying Bryan. It's like, he's been in, like, either the main event or, like, the top three matches ever since he was, like, with Team Hell No.
Yeah, I agree, and I would always think that they were kind of giving him the shaft, but whenever I was saying that, I knew he was the number one guy, because who else was getting interviewed by Rolling Stone? Who else was, you know, like, it was obvious that he was WWE,
right?
But it was like, well, either they're waiting for something, or, you know, it's just that patience deal. They did a good job with kind of the year build, in my opinion at least, with The Rock versus John Cena that first time. Mm-hmm. Like, that one-year build was great. This one felt – they were straddling that line. Like, do they know what they're doing?
Well, they didn't for a long while, because, I mean, there wasn't a long-term – like, they're sitting there and saying, oh, we knew this at SummerSlam. But we know they didn't. We know, like, a lot of this didn't fall into place until CM Punk decided to sit out.
Yeah.
And like at the beginning, this is going to be like Brian, like, I think you said, like, with Sheamus.
Yes. Yeah. This is, I guess we both saw, like, there's a dirt sheet out there that showed what the WrestleMania kind of general feel would have been if CM Punk would stay there. And yeah, it would have been Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And then it would have been Triple H versus CM Punk, where CM Punk was going to lose.
Yeah. And I guess just a regular match between Batista and Randy Orton. It's like, this would be the most boring piece of crap in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you, CM Punk, for sitting out, you selfish prick.
Yeah, and it's great now, because you look at all of what happened during during WrestleMania 30, and you almost can see it as, you know, Triple H and Vince giving the middle finger to CM Punk. It's like, oh, you wanted your moment? Well, I'm going to give it to every other Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah.
Well, how does that make you feel? You know?
Yeah, this is like, no, we really can't put – and maybe it was actually just – of course, it's like they're doing this for their own reasons. It's not like some spiteful thing for the company. But then again, maybe it is like to say, okay, look – trust us, we're trying.
Yeah.
We're giving everything to this guy. We're sorry. Maybe we did screw up. We're willing to to give a chance to like young guys and just shock everybody. And it really felt like the theme for the whole show. Aside from the Cena match, of course Cena's always gonna fucking win, what can you do?
Yeah,
it's like this is just destroying like all the expectations we have.
Yeah. It was kind of the ushering, you know, they can say what they want about the whole Undertaker, Triple H, end of an era match, which I never bought. Like, I never bought that was the end of the era, because you knew Taker was going to come back. So it's like, well, you know what? But this felt like, this whole show felt like, okay, we're starting brand new. Like, we're starting from scratch.
Yeah, it's like the rock and roll era guys and Attitude era guys came in to like basically just say, listen, we're done. We're passing the torch to everyone else. We're not going to take part in this. This is all you're going to see of us. And like for the past 2 years in a row, The Rock had been headlining the show.
Yeah.
And this is just him saying, no, we're done. This is Daniel Bryan's show. This is Cesaro's show. We're sitting out. Yeah. Like, we hear you. We're giving these guys a shot.
And it was so good to see. And yeah, whenever Stone Cold and The Rock were giving Hogan hell for being old, it was just good times. It was just one of those easy things. They knew they could get a big pop for sending those three out there, and it worked. I mean, it just worked.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the simple things always work. And, you know, and The Rock goes out there and gets his stupid jokes over. It's like, you know, fine. At least he's not fucking up everything else.
Right. Because I don't think Hogan's had a clean promo since he's been on WWE TV again.
He's not. It's like maybe he's had like 10 minutes total of like airtime. And every time he shows up, it's like either Cena will come up to like, oh my God, you're great. I love you, Mr. Hogan. It's like, and that's it. He never, like the entire show, he didn't do anything. He just came out and like, I think he like introduced for the Battle Royale and that's it. Yep. I always expected him to show up and like at least get involved in the main event and say, oh, you guys are screwing over Daniel Bryan, brother. It's like, Batista, you're going to sit out.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, so I guess he just kind of showed up and collected that paycheck. So good on him.
That works, and like got advertisement for the network, basically.
Yeah, and then he would always butcher those as well. He's like, now you can subscribe to the WWE Universe. I mean, network. And you're like, oh,
damn. Okay, brother.
WrestleMania 3. Let's see the next match. Of course, we had Daniel Bryan win that match. The next match, The Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws.
Was it that, or was it the Battle Royale next?
I think, like, based on this match listing, it says that happened, and then the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale.
Because it was so quick, it was hard to remember where it was at.
Yeah.
This was my only, aside from the John Cena thing, yet again, John Cena's going to win. There's nothing to do about that. Yeah. This really disappointed me. It's like, I really wanted, like, because the New Age Outlaws can still go.
Yeah.
Kane's still awesome. Like, he can still go. It's like, they just had The Shield come out and just, like, obliterate these
players. It was a squash match. And I was like, what a weird – and especially, what a weird group of guys to squash.
Yeah. But then again, maybe that's the theme of the show. It's like, here's the old guard. The old guard is now dead.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Right. I mean, that'd be a good point. I mean, the rumor was that, Billy Gunn did get hurt, actually. Coughing up blood in the back and stuff, and like just weird things.
It's possible that's just what Billy Gunn does. I mean, he's not had a great decade.
Yeah, that's a good point. You saw those like behind the scenes interviews he did for certain websites and all the stuff that they did back in the day, and it's surprised that he doesn't do that every morning. But we'll get to Raw, but I actually think The Shield had a better moment on Raw than they did at WrestleMania.
They totally did. It's like, I guess they had to do it because the show was running long anyway.
Yeah.
Like between like the Triple H Daniel Bryan match lasted like almost half an hour.
It did,
which is crazy. Like the pacing was so good in that match, you didn't realize what was going on until like it's like holy crap, that was so long. That told a great story.
Yeah,
and this story is just like the authority's done. Bye.
Peace. Yeah, and then after that, the one match I was not excited for in the least was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. And it ended up being one of the most genuine, holy shit, what did I just see?
It was interesting. Like, the thing that pissed me off about the Battle Royale is, like, you had so many guys that deserved actual matches.
Yeah.
Like, during, like, Big E, he's the fucking Intercontinental title holder. Like, he should be defending his belt.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, this is like okay, like they can say like the world heavyweight title, like the big gold belt. No, it's the IC belt. It's the second most important belt in the company.
Yeah.
It always has been.
I agree.
And it's like he's just like stumbling around with 20 other dudes. And it's just it's what's the point of having him out there?
Yeah.
And that's like there's just so many like feuds that they could have won. It's like the Cody like not Cody brothers, but the Rhodes brothers were just like hanging out there. It's like God, why weren't they in the battle the tag team match?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, replace Los Matadores with them. Like good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sad, but like the actual match itself was really great.
Yeah, and especially it was kind of plotting, and you know, whenever it first started, I was like, oh, here we go, another one of these.
Until
the last seven people, and the last seven people was like Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, like Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro, Big Show. Oh, who else was there? But I think Ray was there, and then
seven dudes that you could have believed would have won it.
Yeah, exactly. And then it started getting really interesting because there was a lot of false finishes going over the top. So you're like, okay, this can go any way.
Yeah, and of course, like Del Rio and Sheamus eliminate each other, which is a pretty good analogy for their entire career.
That's what I was. Yeah, like they both suck the life out of the room wherever they go.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there they go. That's sad. Oh yeah. Well.
But they're on even keel. I don't like either of them equally. So yeah. You know, but that moment of Cesaro picking up Big Show.
Like they had been hyping up the Big Show so much winning the thing, like I'd carefully convinced myself that okay, the show's gonna win it because you know the show really hasn't really done a whole lot in WrestleMania. This is gonna be his big send off because we don't really do a lot for him.
Yeah.
And this really felt like they were passing the torch on to Cesaro because Cesaro dumped him and then the show like shook his hand. It's like like you couldn't get a more fitting torch passing than this.
And it was so. Because it wasn't you know, whenever you see like a wrestling angle happen or something, and then you'll see, oh, if someone has to pick up the heavy guy's going to do like a little hop and skip and help him along. And no, Cesaro fucking picked up Big Show.
Yeah, he just manned him up. He picked him up, walked to the ring, walked the ropes, and then threw him over.
You could go back and rewatch it because as soon as it starts happening, people are kind of like, huh. And then once he gets him over his head, everyone stands up like no fucking way. And it was such a good moment because it was genuine.
And it's just such a simple thing. It's just a body slam. Like like of course like we're not wrestlers, I could body slam anybody. But you don't think a body slam is a big deal. Like the only body slam that's ever mattered is like Hulk Hogan's like body slam of that 3,000-pound Andre the Giant.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely what they were going for, and I think it worked.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show how even old school stories like that or like these little moments can be replayed like 30 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing to see it kind of come full circle. But once again, I think you're right. I think it is that here's the old guard. Let's bring in the new guard. Yeah. We remember our past, but we're not letting it define us. Like, you know, the whole show was storytelling.
Like, this was the stuff that WCW could never bring itself to do.
Yeah.
Like, they could never bring themselves to just, like, say, well, you know what? Hogan's getting old. Like, Sting's getting old. It's really important for us to, like, bring along Benoit and Malenko and Saturn. Like, they could never bring themselves to do it. And because of that, they eventually just fell apart.
Yeah. Because their people were falling apart.
Yeah. But it was interesting because, like, they spent so long being afraid to like promote anyone. And this is why Cena was like the only star for so many years. It's because he's the only guy they trusted. Yeah. And this is just another episode. Okay. We trust Claudio, Cesaro rather. Mm-hmm. We trust Cesaro. We're going to bring him into this. He's a great guy. He's been doing this forever. He's not going to do anything else. We love him. Go run with it, young man.
Yeah. And he deserves it. He's one of those that's kind of been in the shadow the entire time, but ever since coming into WWE, he hasn't had a bad match.
No, he's not. And typically he works with really bad people to have great matches with. I mean, he works with huge dudes.
Yes, exactly. And then that's why because I remember, you know, whenever the big swing started, it started because he did that thing to The Miz to where he was outside and he kind of did the half and half on each side, but he was like putting Miz into the side barricade.
Mm-hmm.
And you just thought it was a one-off. And then I bet they were like, wait, let's do something with this. Like,
well, if you'd been following him like ROH and like Chikara and stuff, like you'd seen him do this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd seen him like do like 100 giant swing spins on someone like Grizzly Redwood.
Yeah.
And Yeah, he'd like just sit there for 10 minutes just spinning and spinning. Spinning. Or like he would do like that incredible like UFO uppercut where he'd like throw somebody in the air and just give them the uppercut. And he never really did that. And I think the reason that they never let him do that because they realized as soon as he did, he can't be a bad guy anymore.
Yes.
As soon as he starts swinging, people are going to be into it. It's like, this guy's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like as soon as he started, people started cheering for him.
Yeah, and it works. It works because you don't see that all the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, him coming from the indies and kind of having that experience with – I mean, hell, him and – yeah, especially his Ring of Honor days. That's what I'm kind of the most familiar with. Like him and Brian Danielson have tons of matches together. Him and, like, Nigel McGuinness. Him and – let's see, what's the – El Generico.
Yeah,
those matches are unbelievable. Like,
and it's just Corbin's so incredible. I remember seeing this guy. I remember like paying $15 to see this guy live, and here he is at WrestleMania just tearing it up.
It's so
like,
amazing.
Fuck this! Like sometimes this sport, a lot of this stuff surrounding this bullshit sport is just garbage, but sometimes it just works.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's just magic, and this is why we're fans of it.
And
to see the people, it's people we love, just finally make it big like this.
I agree. I totally agree. And let's see. Next match, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt, of course, had Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
And also a band and also a shaman voodoo.
Which is
How does he lose this? Well, he loses because John Cena. But he had so much build.
And it's in New Orleans. He's in New Orleans.
It's like clearly there's like elemental advantages in play. He's a voodoo doctor. He's in voodoo land. Clearly he should be. This is his strongest point right here.
He put on voodoo boots. Like the whole like it's like you're.
Equipping. God, his coat was amazing. Oh. You saw his coat, right?
Yes. So good. Oh my god. And I guess they gave him that entrance in the band and the shaman and all that shit just because they knew he was gonna lose. So they're like, let's give you all this stuff anyway. Please don't be mad at us.
And that's ultimately why I'm not pissed off at him losing, because it's such a great spot for him.
Yeah, I agree.
It's one of those where, okay, even if you lose, it still defines your career. Mm-hmm. So, okay, this is good. They trust him. They like him. They wouldn't be doing this much stuff for him if they didn't like him. So, okay, you're not going to ruin this guy like you ruined The Miz.
Yeah, oh, totally. And what's weird is I saw everyone like on Twitter and, you know, Facebook posts and stuff like that saying that there was this, like, masterclass of storytelling from John Cena. And I tried to recall back on the match and I was like, when did this happen? Like what reality did he, because I could kind of see, oh, is he going to do the heel turn? But then I don't know if it's John Cena's normal delivery.
Well, it's very difficult for John Cena to take anything seriously.
Yeah.
And when, like, he just decides that all of a sudden he's scared of Bray Wyatt, it's like, wait, like when John was going for the You Can't See Me, and, like, Bray countered with, like, the crab walk.
Yeah.
And, like, John Cena just, like, flew back like he was shot. It's like, come on, John. That's, like, I like you and everything. Like, you're a good human being. I don't like the way you're booked, but come on, dude. Like, you know that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's the finger poke of doom. Like, you're overselling at such a degree it makes it laughable.
Yeah, it's not showing, like, any, like, I don't know, any respect for him if you're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
But the weird thing was, like, during this match is all this, like, Bray's trying to get John to go to the dark side. Like, use this chair against me to end this match or attack my brother and kill him instead and join the dark side. Mm-hmm. Like, John Cena is a sociopath. I remember his feud with Batista, and like the culmination of this feud was an I Quit match, right? And John Cena had, and at the end of it, John Cena had Batista up for the attitude adjustment, like on top of a car. And John's like, if you don't quit right now, I'm going to like drop you off this car and possibly murder you on stage. And like Batista was like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude, you win. I'm sorry, fuck, this isn't that important. And John Cena went ahead and did the damn move. That's just evil. You can't tell me John was already a dark side dude with this.
Yeah. I'm like, what? And you know what? I'm slowly getting more convinced of this. Everyone wants the John Cena heel turn. I don't quite think that's the answer, but how amazingly meta would it be if WWE found a way to make him a heel as a face?
he kind of is right now. Like, yeah. It's the stuff he's doing right now. It's like when he fights, Daniel Bryan, he's a heel. Whether he wants to admit it or not, like, he's a heel to everyone but the 8-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And like, and it works. There's no reason to turn him at the end of the day, because not only will they lose all the merchandise sales, it's like he's already a heel to the people you want to be a heel to. Mm-hmm. He's already a face to people you want to be a face with. And they're kind of stuck. They can't do anything else with him. And the reason is, like, he's just been winning matches for the past decade.
Yeah, I agree. And the only thing, even if he would stop wearing jorts, I would be fine.
Yeah. Sure. Or the tennis shoes. I was like, come on, dude. Stop wearing tennis shoes to a match. Have some respect for the business.
It looks like he just got off his shift at, like, I don't know, Home Depot.
Yeah.
And decided to come. And, oh, I guess I'm going to wrestle tonight. Like,
don't dress as Kevin Smith. Is what we're saying.
You're right. But it's very bizarre. I mean, overall, the match, John Cena and Bray Wyatt, it was solid, but I don't think it was a culmination of anything.
No, it wasn't. It because, like, this company, you have to, like, do something like 2 or 3 months to have a culmination.
Mm-hmm.
And this just started, like, a month ago. So it's like, there was no real, like, indication, like, he was going to lose to Bray Wyatt. It makes no sense for him to lose to Bray Wyatt because he'd already lost once in the year. So he's not going to lose twice in, like, a year.
Right, exactly. That's nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You can't have two Death of Supermans. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, this is garbage. So I like, but they were trying to tell a story, and Bray did a better job of telling the story than John Cena. It was a good story. The guy there using against is clearly an asshole, though, so it didn't really work quite as well as they thought.
Right.
And at the end of it, like, John Cena's just sitting there smiling again. And it's like, this is the big problem with John Cena feuds. At the end of it, he just sits there and he has a big shitty grin on his face. It's like, nothing happened to this son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do anything to him. Like,
He went through nothing. He went through that's the thing, is he either oversells or no sells everything. Like, whenever he says his promos, he sounds like he's in, like, a rendition of Hamlet.
Yeah.
Whenever, you know, until he doesn't. And then he starts sounding good. Like, I think on the Raw beforehand, he was like, oh, you're going to tell me you're the Destroyer of Worlds. You know, he was saying all this stuff. But at the end, he was like, oh, there's going to be change. You're going to change the way you walk when I put my foot in your ass. And I was like, good line. I was like, all right, I could get behind the Cena. Sure.
Yeah. Sure, like this more aggressive Cena. Fine, if this is, if he changes like his personality a little bit because of this, like if it twists him a little bit, fine. But it won't. He'll just be back to the same guy cutting jokes and just whatever. Like they can't change him. I think they're as screwed with him as they can be. This is as far as he gets. Like
And I think that's that. In a weird way, that's kind of unfortunate for Cena. Like
it is.
He's like, stuck.
Well, it's not unfortunate for him because he's making an enormous amount of money, and he will for years and years and years. But it's like, he's also – we got to realize how old he is. Like, he's debuted at the same time as Batista, and Batista is viewed as being kind of old for what he does.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of years left in him. And really, like, if he doesn't have a whole lot of years left in him, maybe he needs to spend this time putting guys like Bray Wyatt over.
I agree. Yeah. And I can tell that John Cena is going to be one of those guys. He'll be a lifer. He'll be in that he'll be in that company for a lifetime. But
he kind of has to because his movie career failed. Like if he get out like The Rock, he would have.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I think it's going to be one of those that once John Cena is off of television for 5 years and then does a comeback in a Royal Rumble, or it becomes the new GM of Raw or something like that, that will be the spot for him. Kind of almost a Mick Foley thing, to where Mick was there a little too long and you're like, these matches aren't as good as your old ones. And then he left. He knew when it was time. He just hung up the boots. But then he came back, and his commissioner angle, probably the best thing of his career.
Well, like, he could have done this year, because after the Bryan match, he said, well, my elbow's fucked. I need to sit down for a little while. And, like, he's back in, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right. He's invincible. Like, he is literally unstoppable. He's a superhuman dude. I don't know how he does that stuff. And, like, apparently his schedule on a day-to-day thing is the same schedule for, like, 4 other superstars combined. And, like, the top-tier superstars, like, oh, I'm going to wake up at 2 in the morning and do this interview. And, like, you know, and then he goes to bed at midnight. you know.
Well, some guys are just insanely lucky and like they never get injured. Like it's the same thing in like sports. It's like some guys are just insanely durable. Like Peyton Manning has stuck around forever because he only had like one serious injury. Mm-hmm. Or Tom Brady. Okay, he fucked up his knee once. You're always going to get your knee screwed in football. But he never had a major injury. John Cena is that same way. It's like he's just, I don't know if it's genetics or luck or just like insane training. But like there's a difference between like John Cena and like Edge, who like Edge was just snake bitten. Like he could not stop from getting hurt.
Yeah.
And John Cena just never gets hurt.
And that kind of curse, this is kind of going off a little bit, but that kind of curse has fallen on a lot of different people. That curse has fallen on especially Christian and Dolph Ziggler lately.
Yeah.
Like well, it's upsetting.
Well, it's the weird thing is like now we know about concussions. Like the stuff that keeps happening to Ziggler and Christian probably wouldn't have mattered even 5 years ago. They would have kept wrestling it. Yeah. But now we know it's like, well, shit, these NFL guys keep killing themselves. This thing with Benoit happened. We have to pay attention to this now.
Yeah.
So, and it's probably for the – well, it definitely is for the best.
You know? Yeah, I agree.
At some point, like, all this is going to go away. But,
yeah. Yeah, but overall, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, good match. The next match, it's funny. We were talking before we recorded. I spent maybe 10 seconds talking about this in my prediction show.
Sure.
And then – It's literally become like an iconic moment, and that's Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. And at the time, I was pissed. Like, it was funny. I had my girlfriend next to me. We just, you know, got done feeding baby and all this other stuff, and I unpaused it. I watched it, and my jaw didn't come off the floor whenever that – because it was a legit pin.
Yeah.
And I had – yeah, a clean pin. And I saw everyone's reaction, and I didn't say a word.
Like no one said a word. It's like because you expect him to kick out. It's like I was watching it, and like I was watching the whole thing. I was sitting there watching. It's like okay, well, Brock just got his finisher for the third time. That's what, because he only has the one finisher, so I guess that's all right. It's like this three count. That's weird. I wonder how they're going to get past that. It's like wait a minute. If he just had a three count, that means the match is
That's all happened. Yes, and then you saw everybody looking around, and then what made it even more like awkward. Brock's music didn't start for like full minutes.
Yeah, and that was like it's like they set everything up because like after this happened, everybody said, "Oh, maybe the Undertaker called an audible, or maybe there's a botch to it." It's like, no, they set this up. They're smarter than that. Like this was the one match. If Taker was supposed to win, they would have found a way. Like the ref would have like said, "Oh, I suddenly have a concussion." And I
can't right. Ah, he'll do a 10-minute spell.
Yeah. Oh, a stroke just came over me. I had a heart attack. Oh, jeez. No, the ref would have like pinned him. It's like none of that would happen.
And I mean, and Taker's so old school that there's that old saying, you always go out on your back.
Yeah.
And I mean, hell, Shawn Michaels did it. Ric Flair did it. Like, Undertaker is from that generation. And he knows he's no better than anyone else in the locker room.
Yeah.
So why would he be the one that doesn't go out on his back?
And to be honest, it's like, this needs to be his last match.
I agree.
It was a bad match. Let's just be frank. It was a bad match to watch. Like, he could barely get, like, Brock into his moves. He could, like, when he did his tombstone, it was like 2 feet of air on that tombstone.
Yeah, and it was – but oddly enough, you know, whenever I was in a state of shock and I was like, I don't agree with this. What did Brock Lesnar do? Oh, like, oh, they give it to a part-timer. I went through all the smart mark stuff. I was like, why'd they give it to Brock and not CM Punk? Why didn't they give it to Shawn Michaels? This person deserved it more. This person – I started going down the list, but then I thought about it for a second, and I was like – Taker is fucking genius because what was the one match on the card everyone knew the outcome to?
Yeah, and it's like it's one of those things where like now you don't know. It's like I would have had, like, the only problem I had with this match was, like, the build was so garbage. Just like
I agree.
The Undertaker just beat the shit out of Brock every single time. There was no reason to think Brock was going to win. I guess it's this sort of thing that happens to Brock. He's like this huge, intimidating dude, but like in all the buildup, he like gets his ass handed to him.
Right.
I don't know how this happens.
The only rad thing from that buildup was that final promo they made to where Paul Heyman's sitting here talking about, no mortal man can beat The Undertaker, but what about a beast incarnate? And I was like, okay, this is a good promo.
Yeah, those are like Paul Heyman like made this. Like everything Brock's done that's been amazing. Like Brock owes him so much money.
Yes. No kidding.
Like, Like, he owes him like a quarter of his check.
At least. But what was so genius about it is then I thought about it again, and I rewatched the match today. And you're right, the match is so hard to watch. And it part is, of me like, thinks that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't go on. I mean, this is literally him falling apart. Like, just on, like, the simple, like, suplexes Brock was putting, like, those Germans, he was falling flat on his back. And just, it was painful to watch. Like, of course, like, everyone was thinking, oh, geez, this is bad because Undertaker's still going to find a way to win, and we're going to watch this next year, and it's going to be even worse.
Because everyone was already, oh, is Sting coming back for WrestleMania 31? Yeah. Is this going to, you know, oh, who's he going to fight? They should give it to Cena. They should give it. But then Brock wins, and everything changed.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're right, anything can happen now.
It's like the one constant is gone, and that actually really helps them out a lot. It's like next year they don't have to worry about this fucking match. Because I really felt like they've been constricted, like, ever since the HBK matches. Like, every year they have to find a guy for him to fight. It has to be this epic thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they get stuck with HBK for 2 years. They got stuck with Triple H for 2 years. Or, like, they got stuck with Punk because no one else was doing anything, even despite the fact that we knew Punk was going to win that stupid match.
Yeah, yeah,
this
exactly.
This year they were stuck with Brock and just felt, oh, this is the new thing he's doing. Yeah. Okay.
And then what a brilliant move. Like, that – and, you know, and the rumor is that Taker has all creative control over his streak storyline. So, and
apparently, this was his friend. Like they were great friends in real life.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Okay, I'm going to go out for my friend.
And now you do give – that gives Brock Lesnar this cemented legacy in WWE of that's the dude that took out Taker.
So he's instant, like, despite the fact that, like, this dude, like, kills people legitimately for a living, like, he's, like, weirdly not credible ever since he came back.
It's true.
Now he's, like, now he's the guy who ended the streak. Like, you have to take him seriously when he comes back at SummerSlam.
Yeah, and what was great is, yeah, because he was a made man in UFC. He's kind of cemented. He took out Randy Couture, like, which I guess, depending on who you ask, probably wasn't that hard to do because Couture was getting old anyway. But, you know.
Sure, but, like, if he never had that stomach illness, that diverticulosis, whatever the name of it was.
Diverticulitis, yeah.
Yeah. If that never happened to him, he could probably still be holding that damn belt.
I agree.
Who was going to take it from him?
Yeah. Oh, the only person I could see as an actual UFC threat would be Cain Velasquez. And that's just based on size. You could get someone in there, like a technical whoever in there and try to, like, pick him apart, but that would also be a 2 hour long UFC fight, you know.
And at any point Brock could just say, hey, I'm putting you out with a high knee.
Yeah, and you're done. Yeah, and you're out. The more I think about the Brock Lesnar defeating the Undertaker thing, the more it makes perfect sense, because this is the guy who's a legitimate threat. Like, he is a UFC champ. He's a fighter.
He's, like, the most legit guy in the company, literally. Yeah. The most legit guy the company has ever had.
Yes.
But the thing that got me about, like the smart fans, like, bitching about this, and something you mentioned, oh, he lost to a part-timer. He Taker shows up once a year.
Once a year. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if that's not the very definition of a part-timer, I don't know what is. Yeah, I mean, everyone knew Taker was getting older. You know, it was bound to happen. But, you know, it was that deal of, okay, is someone going to end the streak, or will it be this thing that lives forever?
Yeah. And, like, as long as they had an issue with this too. As long as the streak lasted, people would expect Taker to show up next year.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they don't have to worry about it. It's like maybe Taker shows up next year to avenge this loss. And hopefully he'll be in better shape than this match. Oh, my God.
Ugh.
But, you know, he could just be done. Like, this could just be him saying, look, guys, I'm nearly 50 years old. I'm enormous. Like, my knees are shot. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. There's a reason I only show up once a year.
Yeah.
And I'm going out. I'm going out for my friend. And I know this sucks for the fans, but listen, everything has to end. And at least, like, now Brock is the man.
Yes, and now he's kind of the mountain to climb for WrestleMania. Yeah. Not because Brock Lesnar has already lost at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no streak or anything like that. Now it's like, can you take out the guy that took out Taker? So that way the streak is still super important, even though it's over. Because this is can you beat the monster that took this streak away?
Yeah. Like, when he, like, decides he's going to go after Daniel Bryan, like, when Daniel Bryan beats him, that's just going to make Daniel Bryan's leg legend even larger. Like, this is the guy who took out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you paid attention to WCW this time, but when they first brought in Big Van Vader.
Oh, I think that was a little before I started watching.
Well, he came in and he just like laid waste to everyone in the entire company. Like, he took the belt from Sting, like no one could get it back from. Like, he just like for like an entire year or so, he just destroyed everyone. And the only guy who could take him out finally at Starrcade was a returning Ric Flair from the WWF.
Mm.
And like my dream for this happening is like Brock comes back at SummerSlam, yeah. Kills Daniel Bryan,
yeah.
Kills everything for like half a year. And the only guy who can take him out is a returning CM Punk.
Yeah, and you have the two Heyman guys, and that would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because those guys, I mean, hell, Punk's kind of amateur UFCing right now, as it were. You know, he's been trained by the Gracies and stuff like this, so that's something he's very big into. And I think, isn't he dating, like, Ronda Rousey or something? Like, I
think he's still dating AJ.
He's dating somebody.
Like, he's always dating somebody. Like, he can walk to her and say, you, come.
Yeah, right over here. Okay, yeah. get in line. But, yeah, it's... Because that's kind of the elephant in the room is, we had a lot of CM Punk chants, but thank God he didn't show up this year.
Yeah. Who's in this match this year?
Yeah.
I guess it's still Brock Taker maybe, but.
Yeah. And, but it was a genius move to end the streak.
Yeah.
And all streaks are made to be broken. And, you know, now that you look at it, it's like, what better guy than Brock Lesnar? Because now Brock will always have a home in WWE, no matter how good or bad his UFC thing does, whatever. Because I honestly think now that he's going to be a lifer, that Brock, this is one of those things they, like in my imagination, they had the talk to where, okay, if you take the streak, you got to promise to kind of stick around. Because you don't break the streak and then be like, well, peace, I'll see you guys in 5 years. Because
There's another issue with that. It's like the mystique of Brock Lesnar is like he's this huge dude. He's unstoppable and only shows up like 2 or 3 times a year. If he like shows up every week or like once a month every pay-per-view, he kind of loses that mystique.
That's true. I guess it would be kind of like a gunman, right? Like a lone gunman. Like you hear the legends of him and then now he's back for the one more, coup de grace.
I'm here to kill Cena because I lost to Cena when I first came back.
Yeah, he has a hit list, right?
Yeah.
Just genius. And now it's at first I was kind of mad in a selfish way because I was like, this just took all of the pop away from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, like that's what a lot of us hearing. Like people were saying, well, maybe Bryan should just go ahead and lose today because he shouldn't be like the second biggest like news event of the night.
Yeah,
and I think that Daniel Bryan is still the biggest news event of the after this is done.
I agree. And then, let's see, next match was the Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational.
This is just so sad because the fans were like, like the few that were still left, because there were reports like fans just, once they saw Taker lose, they're just, fuck this company.
Yeah.
And they're gone forever. You're never going to get another dime from those people again.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just in shock.
Yeah, exactly. And like, so you just had your childhood hero die.
Yeah.
And then bring out the Divas. Like, it was terrible pacing.
Well, they had to do it, though. It's like one match had to be the sacrificial lamb. You didn't want to put the Battle Royal in there because you want Claudio to be cheered and not, like, booed out of the building. So something had to happen here.
Yeah.
And, like, it may as well go ahead and be the Divas match because fucking people would use that to leave the build, like, get concessions anyway.
Yeah. And AJ Lee won. She retained. And... yeah, fine.
Okay,
like,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
I still don't know how the rules for that work. It's like there was just a bunch of, like, I saw the match and I still have no idea how the rules work.
Right. And Vicky tried to explain them once, I think, on a Raw, and, like, couldn't. She was like, you're going to fight them, and they're going to be outside the ring whenever they come into the ring. And you're like, what? Like, it's a lumberjack match? And they're like, no. I guess it was like a single fall tornado singles match. Like, I don't know what the fuck it would be, but I don't know.
Do they only have like one credible lady on the rosters? Like, what happened to like Brie and like the lady with the Brie twins, Bella and Brie? It's like,
yeah,
one of those two can't be brought up as like a credible challenger. There's two of those girls. Like, the two of them can beat the one of her.
And how have they not Because I think the Bellas for a while did the old bait and switch the Edge used to do.
They did. Like,
wow,
they
genius. Would come out,
they, yeah, it's like, just bring that back. It's like, they're dating like your two biggest faces. They can be faces doing like twin magic. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, why have AJ just basically come in, like, make the entire division look stupid by beating them all?
Yeah, and then saying, I don't need to be on your stupid TV show, which basically solidifies the fact that she doesn't need to be on their stupid TV show. And it's like, okay, I'm the champ. Once you girls are done having your TV show, come back and wrestle.
Yeah.
Which is kind of accurate now. And then we'll get into what happened on Raw, which I don't know what's going on with the Divas division, honestly. Like,
hopefully this is just them, like, so they're actually bringing in some actual talent from NXT. Yeah. The one thing I did like from this match is, like, the end of it with AJ, like, doing the fake tapping out of the ladies just tapping out with the referee not looking.
And Naomi, yeah.
Yeah, that was classic.
See,
that was good heel shit.
And apparently, I think Naomi either got hurt or something and was really tapping while AJ was, like, doing the fake tapping of a real tapping like, I don't even know what was happening.
You're right. It was confusing because, like Naomi was, like, tapping on her side, so she was, like, tapping on one side and AJ was tapping on the other.
So bizarre. Oh, man.
Like, maybe there's a reason AJ, like, kept going through you girls. You're terrible at what you do.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, I was hoping my predictions were either Tamina, because what better swerve than have your bodyguard, like, oh, guess what? I've been studying you all this time, and then
I'm tired of your shit. Let's
do it. It's like, I've been holding up your ass long enough. Then either that or Natalya, because Natalya is an actual good wrestler, and she
it's like she's like the favorite one. It's like she's actually good.
Yeah. So yeah.
Or Beth Phoenix comes. It surprised Beth Phoenix return.
Yeah, hey. She had her baby, and now she's back. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh, has she had her baby yet?
I actually don't know.
Hmm. I didn't realize that's what she was out.
And I mean, I was thinking, what a better time, you know, if Eve ever decided to come back.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a great time to do it, is on WrestleMania and win the belt. But, you know, what do I know? And then we come up to the last match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan, because he beat Triple H, versus Randy Orton, who was champ, versus Batista, in the triple threat match. And it was silly for me because I forgot that a triple threat match by proxy is no disqualification. I totally forgot that. I just thought it was a general match, but then whenever either weapons were used and they went to the table spot, which, by the way,
ow,
I feel so bad for Randy Orton.
You know, Randy Orton is we talk about Edge, like, and his ability to, like, get injured constantly. The worst shit keeps happening to Randy Orton.
Oh,
and the dude just keeps popping back up.
Oh, and, like, it took me a minute to realize what happened. And if you guys listen and don't know what we're referring to, during that Batista bomb, like, RKO, isn't that like a Dudley Boys move?
It's like a weird variation of the Dudley device.
Yeah, or the Death Drop or whatever it is. Yeah, it's basically...
But it's way better because Batista's doing it.
Right. Well, Randy Orton comes down from his RKO, which he almost mistimed anyway. Yeah. Like, he's coming up, they do the spot, and you're like, wow, what a cool spot. He rolls over, and you see this bent metal, the monitor.
How'd that even show up? Because they went in there specifically to rip out all the monitors.
Yeah.
Why was this monitor underneath the fucking table? Why did no one notice this?
Oh, man. And then, because I was like, that's weird. Randy Orton's selling this pretty good. And then whenever I see it, and his back is shredded. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, how is he able to walk out of this?
The hilarious thing was, like, okay, so they do this thing to Bryan, to obliterate Bryan. And clearly at that point, it's like, okay, the Orton and Batista were going to, like, settle their shit.
Yeah.
But, like, Batista realized, like, oh, Orton may be done for the night.
Yeah.
Man, there's nothing for me to do. But, so he's just kind of, like, standing there. Like, shit.
Yeah. He had that look like, did I kill both of them?
Yeah.
Like, and then he just looks around, and he didn't taunt or anything. Like, that's a perfect time to be like, I'm the best. Everyone look at me while these guys cover.
Like, I already cashed that check, right? They can't, like, put me in the contract, right? Shit.
Oh, man. But the match pacing was good. I think they went a little overboard in Like with the Daniel
the booking was too much. You're right.
Yeah, with the they should have just given him like a banana peel to slip on. You know, like that's the only thing they needed was like some
so
wacky.
So much shit happened to the poor guy. It's like, no, I understand you're like trying to push this guy as the new hero. He's amazing. He's been through all this shit, but he took like an RKO Batista bomb through a table, hauled out on a stretcher, and then Triple H hit him with Triple H, did he hit him with a sledgehammer? Or he just bring out the sledgehammer?
No, he brought it out, and then and then he got hit by Brian. Brian picked it up and hit him, which led to the big. Running, what's it called? Like just the running dive through the ropes where it took out Stephanie as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the plancha through the ropes. Yeah. But that's the point where I was convinced like Stephanie just completely just shattered both of her ankles in those ridiculous stilettos she decided.
It's those shoes, man. Those shoes are ridiculous.
But like, how did you even get down to the ring in those heels? How do ladies do this?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know. It's just so difficult, but it's so bizarre because at the point, you know, my girlfriend and I were watching, and whenever the stretcher came out, she was like, okay, is this for real? Like, are they really stretching them out, or is this the story thing? And I was like, oh, it's a story thing. Like,
yeah, but you were kind of wondering, maybe that stretcher is for Orton. Maybe Orton's
That's actually what I thought at first until they were going with Brian. I was like, oh, okay. Because, Orton sold it, and he was kind of moving around, but I was like, okay, he's genuinely hurt.
But he's such a professional, he's able to complete the match and show up the next fucking night.
Oh, man. And show up and looking good the next night. And
and credit to Orton for this match because he, like, with Daniel Bryan basically being obliterated for the entire match and Batista being Batista, who's, you can tell a great story, but, like, he's fundamentally limited.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Orton, Orton carried all three dudes.
I agree. And here's the deal. I think it was genius because Randy Orton and Batista both sold Daniel Bryan, and the way they did it was without Daniel Bryan, because every time they would do the false finish, and oh my God, which one was the first one? Was it Batista pinning Orton? Because I swear on my life that was a three count. Like,
Daniel Bryan got up from the stretcher and just gave the knee plus to Orton. And like, and you're right. It's like, I was convinced because the look on his face when he is like pinning him, it's like he had this biggest fuck you crowd smile.
Oh, and it was 1-2. I swear the ref's hand grazed the mat. Like, I was like, yeah! Like, after it happened, I stood up out of my chair and I was like, I can't take this. Like, this is one of those, that was the closest near fall I've ever seen. Ever. Yeah. And it's not just because I was invested in the match or all this stuff, but if you go back and look at it, that dude's hand touched the mat. I swear it touched the mat.
And then Orton kicked out. I was like, like, people give you shit, but like the stuff you're good at, you are really
And every time they would kick out of each other's deal, it gave more hope for Brian. Because now Brian's still in it, even though he's not in it. Like, you know, that is, it was beautiful storytelling. And
it was hilarious because like Daniel Bryan delivers the knee plus to Orton, like Orton's dead, and like Batista just rolls him and, hey, you stupid little runt, just throws him out.
So good. And like, and he was hurting, and you could see why it would take him long to get back in the ring. And that fall, and then Randy Orton hits just the Phantom RKO, and then does a false finish to Batista, sold it extremely well. Like, Batista's not quite as good at it, but it was still good.
He can still tell a good story.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about Batista.
Yeah, I agree. And oh man, that it was just so solid. And I think that in-ring storytelling was going so well that they didn't need the stretchers and the sledgehammers and, this is your long-lost cousin, and he's going to make you not win the match. Like,
we got a crooked ref coming in. And all that didn't matter at all. It's like, you remember how Vince Russo would book shit.
Oh,
and like,
yes.
This felt like, until like the end, which was like just completely clean, just Daniel Bryan just like winning with authority.
Yeah.
Like everything, like I was convinced, like, oh God, here comes the crooked ref, and here comes the crooked ref bullshit. We got two refs. Yep. Like, one of them's going to pin Daniel Bryan. The other's going to like submit like to Orton, and we're going to have two winners. It's going to be some stupid thing. It's like none of it mattered.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Triple H like was hit and left, it was a great match.
I agree. Yeah, and then because it came back to being a wrestling match, and it was that like sigh of relief whenever everyone else left, and it was like, oh, thank God, they're actually going to be able to end this clean.
Yeah. Still though, like massive props for Triple H with that that beautiful like track suit he's just wearing. He just
that was so 80s. So 80s. He had the towel around his neck, like yeah, the whole like, bit.
Yeah, he was like sitting there, like in his locker room, just like recovering from. I got my ass kicked. Wait, Daniel Bryan's wrestling right now. Hey, Steph, let's go. Come on, we're going to get this.
We're not going to stand for this. And then he marches. I'm going to bring my ref buddy. Who's in on it? Like,
yeah. And I just happened to have my hammer underneath the ring. Apparently, like he keeps that underneath the ring at all times because it's the second time he's done
the show. That's the great reality of pro wrestling. Like, how ridiculous is that? But in a weird way, it makes perfect sense. So
underneath every ring is like a sledgehammer and a kendo stick.
Yeah, and then you have the one trash can.
Yeah,
and you have
there's no reason for the trash other can. Side.
Yeah, not at all because nothing's in it. Nothing is in that trash can.
It's not like the ring crew is just going to, like, throw everything in the trash can and then throw the trash can underneath the ring. That's not really
it's like,
good.
Oh, yeah, this is for all the Stone Cold's beer cans. Yeah, let's put them in. I know. It's for nothing.
You think we should take these in the back? No, just throw them underneath the ring. They'll be fine. Oh,
we put that giant, giant trash can down there.
Yeah, we'll throw everything in the trash can and then throw the trash can under the ring. That makes sense, right? Yeah. I don't see why it doesn't backfire on us.
And they're like, oh, the aluminum trash can, of course. Where do they get those wholesale? You know, like that's like those are the trash cans that you see in RoboCop that have the trash on fire in them. Like that's what those are.
Yeah, you never see these like ever in like real life because like trash cans are like plastic now because the metal trash cans are destroyed. Yeah,
I have never not once seen one of those trash cans in real life ever.
No, because like when you have like a garbage truck, it would like take it only takes plastic garbage cans. Like if it took like a metal garbage can, it would destroy it.
So ridiculous.
Where the hell are you getting these things from?
Oh goodness, from like the crazy weapons store.
Like literally, their only customer are wrestling promotions.
Yeah, I wonder how many we're gonna see in Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah, along with like aluminum cookie sheets, just like their single biggest customer.
Oh man, but yeah. Overall, what were your thoughts on WrestleMania?
I thought it was a great show. It was weird in like there was not a lot of matches. Like again, I think like I like how the Battle Royal ended. I think it kind of ruined like the flow of the show a little bit. Like there were a bunch of guys in there like Ziggler, like Big E, even Sheamus, because I think Sheamus can do good stuff if like they give him a chance. But like it just tied up so many guys who deserve better than this. That's the only thing I didn't like.
Yeah,
it's like everything else was fantastic. It's like I don't like the thing where it's like, oh, this is an amazing WrestleMania moment because you need to let shit like that happen organically. You
know? I agree.
And like it felt like a lot of the stuff they were trying to generate. But even for that, it's like they allowed the great storytellers to tell their stories at the end of it, and it really felt like they were just like this is the new guard. This is the new generation.
I agree. And even someone like – even Brock Lesnar told an incredible story because his celebration was really subdued.
Well, it's like – yeah, he was like – even he was shocked. Even he and like Paul Heyman were shocked. He's like, did we actually do that? Yeah, we totally did that.
Yeah. And he had kind of this smirk on his face and a smile. But then whenever he left, he was just looking around like amazed with it. He was like, what just happened? And I think – that was great instead of him like being like flexing and yeah, that's right. I'm the guy. Like he took it and he was like, well, I guess that's my time. And then he just walked off. Like it was perfect.
It'd also be like enormously disrespectful to the Undertaker.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the only thing in like sports that really matters. Like the streak and like not only like was the match always important. It was like Undertaker's like walking out of a match being destroyed at the end of it. Like at the end of like his Triple H matches, like him just doing the slow walk out. It's like, oh, there's like the gunslinger, like one of the last times you ever see him. And like, he got his chance to do that this time too. Like,
yeah.
It probably really was the last time.
And he did the deal to where he didn't look back. Like it was, which is kind of a telling thing too, because that's apparently the old school way you're supposed to do it too, is you say goodbye in the ring and then you don't look at the crowd as you leave.
Yeah.
You just walk off. And I think not seeing him on Raw was kind of telling.
Like, I don't even know if there'd be a reason for him to come back and say, listen, I'm gone. I'm retired. It's just, that'll be it. Like, it'll help his legend. It's like, you never see anything else of him again.
Yeah. And I agree. Like even the fact, because of course he's going to get inducted, but
sure,
you know, give it a few years.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants it for 2015, and yeah, that'd be cool, but we got time. Like, yeah, the reason why he left is he wants more time with his family. You know, like, he's done with wrestling, so now he can live the rest of his life being healthy, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's clear, like, he can't keep it up.
Yeah,
it's
there's
like,
no way.
He was able to hide it with Triple H, and of course, with, like, HBK and Punk, he was doing it with the best guys in the world.
Yeah.
It's like, when he couldn't hide it, it's like, it's obvious the guy's done.
Yeah.
And you just need to respect that this was his decision. He went out for his friend and just, you know, live with that. It's
yeah,
like, be happy that this, that there's, they managed to do it as well as they could.
Yeah, I agree. And like, yeah, I think it was a beautiful story about the Undertaker let the streak get to him. You know what I mean? Like, he had this, I'm going to fulfill my legacy. Oh, if you want to take me on, come to, but he bit off more than he could chew.
Yeah. And like, it was kind of like his hubris too, because
yes,
you know, at the start they had all these coffins like lined up, all the people that he's destroyed.
Yep.
And it's like, at the end of it, there's Brock Lesnar's coffin, and he's gonna set that one on fire. You're going in here too. It's just like everything's like fait accompli, you know?
Yeah,
it's
and like, it couldn't have happened any better, and that's why I think it was so brilliant. Because yeah, who would have seen it? Who would have seen that coming?
Nope, no one. And now you, every time something wacky happens, I was like, well, that can't happen. But there was that time Brock Lesnar beat the Undertaker.
Yeah. This turned everything on its head. Everything changed. And because if that's not sacred, what else is?
Right.
You know.
It's like, also, like, we assumed Triple H, like, being, like, the man forever was going to be sacred. And we, like, 5 years ago, we would not have thought, like, a little sawed-off runt like Daniel Bryan would get this far.
Yeah.
We would always assume Triple H would be the man, would destroy a guy like that. And like, they've put so much faith and hope and confidence in this guy, this tiny little guy with like this incredible beard and this long hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he's the man. He is the future of this company.
Yeah. And that's exciting. Like that,
yeah,
ushering in an era to where you have guys like Bryan and Cesaro,
mm-hmm,
and we'll get
and
to
even Bray. Even yes, Bray, it's
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that then the Shield coming down, just
yep,
just waylaying everyone. It's like, this is like, if you need new heroes, if you need new people to cheer for, here you go.
And these guys are young enough and good enough to hold the entire company.
Yeah, like between like the Shield and like Bray, there's like four or five like legitimate guys that can like any other promotion in the world, they would be at the top of it immediately.
Yeah, they would be basically, that's kind of what happened whenever TNA got Samoa Joe. Like, they're like, holy shit, we got Samoa Joe, let's make him, yeah, let's make him by himself the tag team champions, like, yeah, that type of thing. But
and that's really the sort of stuff they should have kept doing. But what TNA did, they kept bringing like these old cast-offs from WCW and WWF. It's,
yeah,
like, and like AJ gets nothing anymore, Storm gets nothing. Rude gets nothing anymore because they have to lay down for like these old dudes.
Yeah.
And WWF said, we're going to go the other way. It's like, we have our established stars. We can make anybody.
And so, that's true. And they can. They have that marketing muscle. They have the eyes on their product. And they have the talent to be able to pass it on.
Right.
And the people to be able to pass it on. Like, I agree. I think if Cena's kind of winding down a little bit, that he should start filling the HBK role. He,
yeah,
should start being the guy that does the big promotional matches, gets all the eyes on the product, and then loses.
And he kind of did that. Like, he did that for Daniel Bryan. And he lost clean for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was extremely well done. But yeah, WrestleMania, I thought this one actually felt like a WrestleMania. Whenever I look back on it, and you're like, okay, what happened at if you ask me what happened at WrestleMania 29, I just know of the terrible Rock Cena match.
Yeah.
I know.
Which was a replay of like the previous match.
Yeah. And that's kind of it.
Like
Team Hell No did something.
Yeah, like I can't even remember who Team Hell No. It's the Shield probably did something, I guess. Like the Shield were there, right?
I think. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. Like,
I know Punk lost to the Undertaker. You always,
yeah,
know who the Undertaker beat that year.
Yeah. But that's it.
And like, or like, the 2 years before that, when it's like Cena versus the Miz.
Yeah.
Really?
That's your main event, and Miz wins, and you're like, oh, what?
And then the Miz like is just like getting eliminated like in the mid 20s in the Battle Royale this year.
Yeah.
Like the dude beat Cena at WrestleMania, and this is what he's stuck with now.
Guy headlined WrestleMania, and now he doesn't even get 4 minutes for Miz TV. Like, ugh, what's going on? But I think the people. But to be fair, I think the people that have the talent are starting to come to the top.
They're starting to listen to it because at the start of this it was like, well, we're gonna bring, but like everybody loves Batista, we're gonna bring Batista back, we're just gonna have him fight Randy Orton, that people are gonna love it. And then people are like, well, you know, Batista's great, but he's kind of old and played out and everything. So the only thing we really like are the Shield. If you can like do something with the Shield, that'd also be great.
Yeah,
I think they paid attention to that, and I don't think that could have happened without CM Punk just sitting out.
Yeah, I agree, and it's amazing that. You know, I wonder if Punk knew that something like this would happen if he left. I mean, there's no real way of
like
knowing.
Thought...
Or if he wanted... Because,
it's like...
I'm trying to think. Like, CM Punk always wanted change, right?
Yeah.
That was his big thing. And in a lot of ways, I think he did kind of institute a lot of it because he was better on the mic. He did more ad-lib stuff. He didn't go off a script. Like, he did these small little things that kind of started changing the energy, but then it's almost like he saw what the writing on the wall was. They weren't really changing their tune, so he's like, you know what? Unless you guys change something big, I'm leaving.
Yeah, like, if like the best thing he got for me is just lose to Triple H, which I did 2 years ago, again, like,
yeah,
what's the point?
Gotta go.
So you just sit out. Yeah.
So
you sit out for, like, until SummerSlam next year, which is fine.
So maybe in this weird way, Punk has the satisfaction of knowing that him leaving did affect this change. So he seems like those type of guys. Like, hey, if, you know, he had his time in the sun, he's like, you know what? If me leaving is going to be a wake up call for these guys, let's do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like I said before, I'm the biggest CM Punk fan as anybody, but he's gone. Like, the CM Punk chants don't really do any good.
Just like with the product we've been given, it's like, okay, before we had one guy, CM Punk, and he was great and everything. Like, big fan of CM Punk. But now we have The Shield, we have Cesaro, we have Daniel Bryan. It's like, we have a lot more now. It's like, any one of these guys can easily replace that. So
I agree.
Be happy with what you have.
Yeah. And I do think that this sets up a beautiful thing for Punk to come back. But it's just a question of when and how will they bring him back. But yeah, I think WrestleMania was a success, and what was also a success was the Raw afterwards, this past Monday.
Yes.
The Raw crowd after WrestleMania, like, I don't know if it's part of the VIP ticket package, like, that you
got,
like,
or, like, get it separately, because they're not going to give that money away. But but it's another issue, like, okay, so you're flying in for WrestleMania weekend, you're obviously, like, a big WWF fan. Mm-hmm. Like, those people are going to stay for Raw. They're going to go ahead and buy the tickets. They're not going to, like, leave.
Yeah.
So they're going to keep the same crowd, basically.
Yeah. And it was amazing. It even started with, you know, Daniel Bryan walking out and then him giving the, you know, I couldn't do this without you type of deal. But the beautiful thing about it is the crowd chanting, you deserve it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a genuine, like, moment for Daniel Bryan to kind of let it sink in. And
And you're right, being a genuine moment. Now, I want you to remember, like, a month ago when, like, they tried to do the Occupy Raw thing.
Yeah.
You had the disgruntled fans in Cleveland saying, oh, we're going to take over Raw. And it's like, and the WWE just completely, like, overtook that entire thing because it tried to be manufactured. This was actually an outpouring of love from the fan base for their guy that finally succeeded.
Yeah. And then, of course, Triple H comes out as he storms out whenever he's looking at Daniel Bryan. Oh, well, you'll enjoy it, but tonight you're going to defend the belt against me and all this stuff. And, you know, the crowd chanting asshole, all this stuff, like, just super lively crowd. And it worked because whenever I was like with Daniel Bryan and SummerSlam, I remember my exact words were at least let him have it for a day. You know, I was like, you couldn't let him lose it on Raw. Like, you could just over fucking let him have it overnight. Like, don't do this in 5 minutes. Come on. But then I had this general sense of, oh, they might take it away from him the next night. Like, I knew they weren't because of how much Daniel Bryan's getting, you know, T-shirt sales and all that stuff. All eyes are on him. But
then again, maybe they would think that they could keep pushing it because they kept pushing for like 6 months. It's like, maybe we keep leaving him around. But I guess they realize that they need to respect, like, the fans.
Yeah, and also, what do you do with the we're going to screw over Daniel Bryan story that you haven't already done?
You can't. You're right. You can't do anything else. Like, at this needs to be the point where he starts defending the belt, because there's so many like great storylines he could have. Like, he's going to have like his rematch with Orton. He's going to have his Batista match. Like, he's going to finally shut it out with like Triple H at some point.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much. Like, he needs to have the fight with Bray, because Bray beat him clean. So he needs to have that fight. He needs to have the Sheamus fight. There's so many things they can do with him now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and just like keep screwing him around. Like, that just, there's no point to it.
And what's great is about, you know, everyone has that fear that, okay, Daniel Bryan, if he's not the underdog, he won't be popular. I think it's going to be great, because he's going to be the champion and an underdog because of his size. And, like, because even Sheamus can come out, oh, Pipsqueak, you got the belts, those belong to me.
I beat you in 18 seconds 3 years ago. Let's go. I'm going to
– Yeah, let's do it again. They could play this out for 2 years if they wanted to.
Yeah, it'd be great. There's at some point he's going to have the Cena match, and Cena's going to probably, you beat me on my worst day. You're going to have to prove it again, and maybe he can do it again. Yeah. And like, even if he just holds it through SummerSlam, I think it'd be worthwhile.
I do too. And yeah, once again, this could set up my dream match. Yeah, WrestleMania, you talked about it before. You talked about it with Brock Lesnar, but even on the flip side with Daniel Bryan. Okay, who else is left? In comes CM Punk. And it's like, I got your number. Like, and all that match is gonna be
What if it's like Heyman comes into Triple H, like after like all these people like Daniel Bryan's gone through, and he's like, Heyman comes in and says, "Listen, I know one guy he could never beat." It's like, you gotta sign a deal with the devil to get him, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's gonna be Brock Lesnar." Like the next night, CM Punk comes out.
Yeah,
it's like, oh shit, this is gonna be amazing.
If you talk about the biggest pop, like that sort of like the head to head, because they've already had two amazing matches in WWE.
Yeah,
but they've never had the match, right?
Right, like that was just like those matches are something for CM Punk to do in like the year he held the belt.
Yeah,
it's like they're just, but this would be just like bringing it back together again.
Yeah, and this would be like, I would put in my mind, this would be the same thing as the Bret versus Shawn Iron Man match, like that sort of allure of like, these are the two guys that are the best on the planet.
And they need to settle it.
Yeah, and this is an hour. Like, if they can't do this shit in an hour, like, you know, oh, amazing. But
or just 2 out of 3 falls or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, something to where it can go on for 30 to 45 minutes. And, yeah, and you can't tell me that won't be a huge payday.
That'd be amazing. They
could just plan it. But they had that. I'm trying to think of some of the other big highlights of Raw. Yeah,
They had that, and like, the next segment, I'm basically stealing this from Up Rocks.
That's
their wet leather segment. The guy who does this, Robert Stroud, is super great, an amazing, funny guy. Brandon Stroud, rather. But the next thing they had was Heyman came out with Brock to do the promo for like showing off, like, hey, you stupid losers, this guy broke the streak.
And I love the fact that they kind of broke kayfabe for a minute, and they were like, oh, a lot of people don't know this. Vince McMahon went to the hospital with Undertaker. Like, I was reading that last night on the dirt sheets, like, oh, that's weird. Vince didn't stick around. But then they actually brought it up, and he was like,
because he had a concussion or something, I guess, right?
Yeah, he actually got a concussion. And apparently he got a concussion like the second move of the match.
Brock will do this to people. Like, I don't know if he's just like, he's not sloppy, but he's not aware of his strength.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like, it's his MMA stuff, because apparently the same thing happened to Cena when he came
back. It's almost like Vader. You brought up Vader earlier. Vader was stout, man. Vader would just, he would give you a few live ones, you know?
Yeah. He worked stiff as hell because he worked in Japan. Like, that's where he trained.
Yeah. So I think, there's something to it. And then I think that also kind of explains, if you know that Taker's working the entire match with a concussion, it kind of explains the shitty German suplexes, like all this other, like, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, it's because he was hurt, he had a bad match. But, you know, I think it kind of explains a little bit more.
Yeah, well, if he wants to come back next year and, like, avenge his loss, okay, maybe you can, like, believe that. And hopefully, like, you'll be in better shape, too.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, that promo with Heyman. Heyman's just a master on the mic. Yep. I do think, I think with Jim Cornette, he's tied with me for best manager ever. Like, I have the soft spot for Paul Bearer just because of the character. But as far as, like, actual manager, like, talking and...
Well, the problem with Paul was, like, he would always wrestle, like, really... Like, aside from, like, the time he managed Mankind, all his dudes were really bad. Like, he wrestled, like, bad Undertaker when he was the Dead Man and Kane, like, before Kane got good. It's like, he would just come out there and just, like, oh, he was great and everything at talking, but, like, once the talking was done, like, this was a bad match.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Heyman is the fundamentally good manager, and, like, you have a guy who doesn't have a great personality or can't work the mic very well, like Cesaro or Brock Lesnar, but he's a great technical worker.
Yeah.
And, like, exactly. he gets you interested in, like, the match, and then, like, the guy goes out there and just puts on a incredible match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they always deliver. Like, and the reasons why, like, a Brock Lesnar match, the only one I'm really thinking of that really didn't kind of do it for me was that Triple H match, I guess at WrestleMania, where it was either WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something, or one of them, to where it was the Kimura lock, like, six times.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
Dude, if you're in a Kimura lock, your arm's gone the first, like, 3 seconds. So stop the Kimura lock stuff.
Yeah.
Find a different finisher.
Yeah.
Please. Submission, rather.
Yeah, and then Triple H did it, and you're like, oh, here we go. Like, this is, like, 30 minutes of rest holds.
Yeah, like, when the MMA guy gets into, like, a Kimura lock or a legit, like, MMA hold, like, he taps immediately because he doesn't want his career to end.
Yeah, exactly. There's no ref being like, okay, guys, you gotta cut it out. Like, you know, we gotta get back to it. But,
No, you can't man yourself out of a broken arm. We're sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, yeah, like, with Paul, and then later on, Paul would make another big deal, which I don't quite know what to think of it. I think it's
– I think, like, this – like, aside from the Shield thing, which – the Shield thing was weird because they were already faces, so I don't know why that happened.
Yeah.
This was the development of the night.
Yeah,
like I feel this is, like, the best thing that happened for Claudio following, like, the I keep calling Claudio Cesaro following the win. Like, this was, if they want to, like, stabilize him as a legit guy, put him with Paul Heyman and just let him go.
Yeah,
because this, he's now legitimate.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, because at first I was like, why would Cesaro be a Heyman guy? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Until I remembered how good Heyman is on the mic. And how little mic time Claudio has had. So I was like, okay, he could be, once again, kind of a voice of the voiceless type deal. But
until it's eventually time for him to turn on.
Exactly.
The weird thing about that is, like as soon as he came out, like, Paul Heyman was, like, out there, like, 5 minutes before making fun of the crowd. It's like, I killed The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you're idiots.
Yeah.
He comes out there 5 minutes later with Cesaro, and, like, they're, like, cheering their asses off. Oh, this is great. How do you do this?
Paul's a genius, man.
You're fucking amazing.
He's so good. Oh, but yeah, and I agree. I think it was because that Andre statue that they had, it wasn't the real statue, right? Like, it was just another thing where Jack Swagger could go in and break it.
Yeah, but the only reason for the trophy to exist
is someone to break it.
Yeah. As soon as he announced there's going to be a huge trophy, it's like, either, like, you're going to have a heel, like, hold the trophy, like, for an entire year because that's great, or some disgruntled guy is going to come down and break the trophy.
Yeah.
And this is perfect. Like, Jack Swagger gets pissed off. He gets pissy, and he breaks the trophy. And says, oh, that's it. We're done.
And that can be a hell of a little rivalry right there. Like, those guys can work.
Yeah, and it's going to be a nice hoss-off. It's like beating that shit out of
you. Yeah, because, I mean, Jack Swagger, you know, he used to hold the belt. He used to be, like, world heavyweight champ back whenever, like, it was him. The two main drawing guys, I think, were Jack Swagger and Rey Mysterio, which is just, what bizarro world was that? You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of that now. But with Jack Swagger, NCAA champ,
dude's
a solid hand.
Like, he's a legit guy. Like, I always liked him, like, on the mic. I don't understand why he needed a manager. Like, I thought he's one of the guys that could do it well on his own.
Yeah. I do like the idea of Jack Swagger with Dutch Mantel.
Yeah, and, because, like, just being hilarious racist.
Yeah, it's just so funny. Like, I can't get enough of it. Just him talking about what Cesaro would sneak across and do his, like, crappy finger thing. And, like, it's, you know, so funny.
The big missed opportunity here was that Claudio should have, like, gone to Dutch Mantel and just said, oh, by the way, I'm also not American. I've been Swedish this entire time.
Yeah, and he's like, what
do you mean? And then Heyman comes out. Just
so good. But I love that whole bit too, because you know, oh, you're a Zeb Coulter guy, and everyone's like, that's not a thing.
don't try to make that a thing, Zeb. Come on, dude. And so, that's why it's a callback to Paul.
Tricky. But yeah, it was super solid. But yeah, I'm glad that Cesaro and Jack Swagger, honestly, are going back to singles competition.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were a great little tag team, but it's just because both of them are so good anyway.
Yeah, and this is a great feud because, I mean, this is old school, like, NWA right here. Yeah. This is so simple. You have two guys who kind of didn't like each other, like, toward the end of it, just break up, and now, like, this is, like, they're going to be able to, like, call back on this rivalry for, like, years.
It's always worked. I mean, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, like,
simple things work so well.
They do. And the thing is, that's whenever Shawn Michaels' career skyrocketed. So now, like, I can see something like that happening with Cesaro. Like, he's already kind of in it. You know what I mean? He's already, you know, they're going to give him a King of Swing shirt. Like, you know, you can already see the writing on the wall for him. But it's good. It's all positive. So
I guess, like, there was a couple, like, just the matches for the night. Like, the Bulgarian came out and killed Zack Ryder, which was kind of, if you like Zack Ryder, like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, and Zach hasn't had an opportunity at all. Like, I was personally upset at WrestleMania. The first guy eliminated was Yoshitatsu.
Yeah.
Yoshitatsu's a good hand. It's like, give him something.
He's a joke now. Like, bring back, like, you have so many hours of TV to fill, and I got the network. You can have a cruiserweight division and put Yoshi in there.
Like, yeah, man.
Come on, guys.
Oh, can you imagine a division with Zack Ryder, Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd,
Yeah, it's Sin Cara, the new Sin Cara.
Yeah, like, I think it, and it's weird, I think the new Sin Cara, isn't it like Hunico from Hunico and Kamado or whatever?
It was the old evil Sin Cara, if you remember that feud. When
shit!
Yeah. Like, when Sin Cara got injured a couple years ago, they had to bring in, like, another Sin Cara.
Oh, man, that's so wild.
Evil. Is now the evil Sin Cara is that they won't address any of this. It's like Sin Cara has just been the same Sin Cara the entire time.
The only way that could have been better is if they put a fake mustache on the mask.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just sad, like Hunico never got, like, an obvious tattoo that they never explained. I just said,
yeah, like, it takes up his entire arm, and it's like, wait a minute, has he always had this?
And it's like, that's weird. Like, Sin Cara, like, had this tattoo, like, last week, and now it's gone. I don't know, how did he do that?
And apparently, like, real Sin Cara tried to wrestle in Mexico or something, got sued for using the name, even though it's his name. Like,
well, it's like Mystico, like El Mystico is his name, right?
And, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he, like, maybe tried to use, like, the likeness of Sin Cara, like the mask or something.
So silly. Yeah. It's just so funny. It's like, I just imagine Sin Cara being a title.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, there could be 30 Sin Caras.
Like, the legendary Sin Cara that just goes through history. That's what they should have done with Rey. The problem is Rey has all these tats, so you can't do anything with him unless you just want to, like, get somebody out the rest of the tattoos.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Let's see, what was the next,
the Ultimate Warrior shows up and
he has his bipolar time.
He didn't manage to offend anybody, so I guess that's a win for the company. He didn't go out there and start talking about the dangers of homosexuality, so I guess that's good for
him. He didn't do a 35 minute shoot on Hulk Hogan.
Didn't appear like in somebody's mirror somehow.
He did the snort, he did the, like, power of space and time or whatever. And so it was a nice little throwback.
Yeah, it's all right. But you know what? In order to get, like, the real authentic, like, Ultimate Warrior experience, he needs, like, a pound of cocaine before.
Yeah. White powder. Like, that's how I'm convinced he used cocaine as the base for his face paint. Like, you know, like, it's just, it shows.
Just get right in there into the pores.
Just let it soak in during the show, and we're all set.
That's how he got all of his energy. The next match of the night was Paige versus AJ Lee. AJ Lee comes out and just, like, makes fun of everybody for, like, holding the belt for so long.
Yeah.
And this is weird because Paige, like, just comes out and says, "I love you, you're great." And AJ says, "Fuck you, you're wrestling me." And Paige says,
"I'm not ready. I don't want to." It's just like, you're going to do it and you're going to like it.
Despite the fact that Paige comes out in her full ring attire, like in her boots and everything, says, "Oh, I'm not ready to wrestle." Why the hell are you out there in your get-up?
Yeah.
Nobody wears this normally.
That would actually sold it a lot more if she was in jeans and a t-shirt. Just like Turner Sneakers, like, oh, I'm a big fan of yours. Yeah. Just know I'm coming to the main stay. I'd be honored to wrestle you. And she's like, well, fuck you. Let's do it right now. And she's like, no. And then, take her by surprise.
Yeah. It's like, that wasn't her finisher, I hope, because I don't know what the hell she did there.
I don't know if AJ botched the landing or if Paige botched the move, period.
I'm not willing to advance the theory that AJ would screw something up. So clearly this was Paige's fault.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But did it one move. You're telling me AJ Lee just got bombarded by 14 people the night before, all of them kicking her in the stomach and like punching her in the head. And then she somehow wins. But then Paige comes and like trips and like, like, oops.
The weird part about that is that it makes no one look good.
Yeah.
Paige has the belt because she got lucky and dumb, and now AJ looks like an idiot. No one is benefited by this.
Right. They just did it to be shocking.
Yeah.
And it's shocking, but it's also shocking how much they're disrespecting the Divas division. Like,
yeah. I guess this is just like, okay, we're going to like hopefully bring in some actual talent because like, Paige is actually decent if you watch
Shocking. Yeah, she is.
Like the NXT like divas, I don't know if they call them divas on NXT, like, or this, I should just call them like women's wrestlers, like they should be called. Yeah. They're actually really good.
Yeah, they are. Especially Flair's daughter is really good.
Yeah.
Even Emma, and I'm glad that Emma actually. I think that might be one of the next matches on Raw.
Is Emma the nerd or the girl with the weird dance?
She's the weird dance girl with Santino. Okay. Like she has basically a version of. Daniel Bryan's old move, cattle mutilation.
Yeah.
Called the, like, Emma something. Like,
yeah, she bust out the mutalock, basically.
Yeah, and I was like, this is really good. Like, she did it perfect. And she even did, like, she arched her back the right way. And, like, but she has, and she did a Tajiri's tarantula on, like, side ropes. Just sick. Like, awesome moves. I'm like, thank God a diva has these moves. Because these moves are classic.
But it's given to, like, the joke character, which is kind of sad. It's like, these legit moves need to be given to a badass. Not, like, the chick hanging out with Santino. Hopefully she can break out of that. Hopefully she'll kill Santino because fuck Santino.
Yeah. Like, Santino was great as, like, the Santina character where she talked about making love to JR. Like, that Santino, I'm fine with. Like, let him do that his entire career, and I'm okay with it. But yeah, and like sadly though, he's a good hand. Like Santino can wrestle, but he never does.
Yeah, like he's got legit skills, but like again, he's like once you're stuck as a comedy wrestler, that's all the company will ever allow you to do.
Yeah,
this is the same problem Zack Ryder had. Like he was the comedy dude.
Yeah, I was about to say he was John Cena's best friend who got cheated on.
Yeah. Like, and that gets fucked. The moment you're John Cena's best friend, it's done, son. You're out.
You're the first one dead in the scary movie. Like if you're the best friend of the hero, then you're done. Like it's a done deal for you.
Like his latest best friend was Brodus Clay.
Oh.
And he's gone. The dude's gone.
Oh man, Brodus is gone.
Like he showed up to get eliminated last night.
Right. He was like second eliminated or something.
Yeah, that's it. Like he's gone. Poor guy.
He was third eliminated. Brad Maddox was second eliminated.
Good old Brad Maddox.
And wait a minute. Let's go back to this for a minute. Wasn't there supposed to be three people that were not announced?
Yeah, one of them was Claudio.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, like the thing was like Christian had another concussion, so he had to get – and hopefully Christian – maybe he just needs to like retire manager. Like,
NXT like a, coach or something.
Yeah, like a manager, like an announcer. He's probably a really good announcer, but he needs to stop wrestling before like he does damage to himself permanently.
I agree.
But yeah, there was like he was one of the three. I don't know, but it didn't matter like if there were announced guys because it was just like, oh, here's some guy you had like, here's Justin Gabriel. You haven't seen him in 2 years, but here he is.
And here's Tyson Kidd, a guy who should be neck and neck with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
but yeah, he gets eliminated like fifth. And you're like, man.
Like he's not doing anything. Put him in a tag team. Give him with another flippy dude. It'd be great.
Get him and Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, why not?
Beautiful.
This is stupid. Like, have new flips all day long. People would love it.
Oh,
you don't have to talk a bit.
He's from the fucking Hart family. Like, isn't he the last person from the dungeon? Like, isn't that his thing?
It was, like, either him or the big dude he used to tag with.
Oh, who did he used to tag with?
It's because of the new Hart Foundation. I forget.
That's right.
He's like Davey Boy's son, I think.
Right? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It was, what is his name? I'm going to look it up now. That's going to bug the shit out of me. Let's see.
But one of the two, like, definitely one of the two were the last guys to go in with Stu Hart in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Of course, the family doesn't own the dungeon anymore, I don't think.
Let's see. Yeah, it was Tekken, Smith, and see, so, yeah, I guess it was the Hart Dynasty, which was it was David Hart Smith. That's right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow related to David Boy, like his son or like nephew or something.
Interesting, but yeah, that's another one of those deals, and I'm hoping that this new kind of generation, you know, we're bringing in the new guys, we're bringing in the young guns. Like, I hope that's gonna start showing something for these mid-carders.
Maybe, but like. The weird thing is, like, if you're coming up from NXT right now, you're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, everybody between, like a couple years before that are kind of screwed. It's like Dolph Ziggler. He's great. Love Dolph Ziggler. But he's done. He's not going to get anywhere else in this company. Like, Alberto Del Rio, like, he's boring, but, you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he's done. It's like, everyone that came out over the past 2 or 3 years are kind of, like, have kind of peaked. And it's sad because they don't have anything else to do with them. And a large part is because they don't do anything else with the mid-card belts. It's like they just hang around Big E Langston and Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And like they don't have the world heavyweight title to use anymore. So they have nothing for these guys to do. And it's like the only thing they can do is bring in the young kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And hope that them like flipping around and stuff kind of gets people's attention elsewhere.
Yeah, meanwhile, if you're Justin Gabriel or Tyson Kidd, maybe you're thinking maybe you should go to Jeff Jarrett's new promotion. Like, money won't be good, but at least you get some kind of exposure.
Yeah, you'll get work. And if you're on the payroll, like, I'm not sure how the WWE does contracts now. Like, I know they probably do them year-on-year basis. That seems to be kind of the standard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what better cushy way to – sure, I'll go out in my 30-man battle royale and lose number 5 and just be like, hey, guys, it was fun to wrestle in front of 80,000 people. Peace. You know, like, you get to do that 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, and sure. And, like, and when the day you retire, then you can still, like, headline any indie promotion, like, you go to.
Yeah, and earn, because like, you made it to Mania. Like, yeah. That's how I'm convinced that's how Matt and Jeff Hardy – God, like they were big draws and everything, but the fact that they kind of reinvented tag teams with the TLC matches, that solidified their spot.
Matt kind of like, but he Matt gets by on the fame of his brother. Like Jeff was legitimately like the next guy.
Yeah.
Like the company like put so much like work into him, but you know he's a fucking idiot and he got on drugs and like just decided like he was bigger than everything else.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like they realize with guys like CM Punk and Brian and Cesaro, these are clean guys.
Yes.
Like you don't have to worry about like all their money going up their nose. Like they had to worry with the Hardy kids or like any other number of guys.
Yeah.
Like they can trust them. Like they get a good head on their shoulders and they understand how to keep their money.
And it's good. And now that Taker's leaving, you need kind of a in the locker room general.
Yeah.
Right. You need someone that the young guys or the mid-carders or someone who's maybe has a few nerves, things like that. Like, I need some advice. Who do I go to?
Well, and you can't go to Triple H because he's running the company.
Yeah, he's biased and he'll tell you what you want to hear or what you don't want to hear based on, So
maybe Kane's that guy, I guess. I
would think so. And here's the deal. Like, whenever we talked about, who could end the Taker streak, I always thought it'd be beautiful if Kane did.
Yeah.
Because Kane's got nothing his whole career.
Well, he kind of – there was a weird thing when, like, the last time Taker was regularly on TV and, like, Kane held the belt at that time. Mm-hmm. Like Undertaker actually, like, dropped a match for him. And, like, that's probably the best he was ever going to get out of Undertaker, sadly.
Yeah, and and Glenn Jacobs, you know, Kane, seems like one of the guys that's cool with whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I just like my job.
He's been so valuable to the company. Like, they can, like, use him in any role. He, like, takes any kind of personality. Now he's like great as like this big corporate goon. Like last night, like he just shows up and he just like yells at the Shield and basically like lays out like the authority's like entire secret plan to him. It's like an idiot. It's like, oh shit, I really fucked that up. And they can't do that with anyone else but Kane.
So good. And yeah, Kane's so big and clumsy, but then if they needed another heel or like another actual like bad guy, they could just give him the mask again.
Yeah. Yeah, like at any point he can say, you know what, I'm a fire demon again. Fuck this noise.
Yeah, like how brilliant is that? That's where his career is now. It's like, you know what, I'm the dead guy again. I'll be the brother that came back.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go. Come
I'm
on.
Just hoping. And like I remember his dumb voice box that he had when he came. Undertaker. Like he had. Oh my god. Like that guy's been. He was a dentist as a Isaac Yankum.
He knows like his limitations and his ceiling, and he knows like I'm kind of lucky to be in this position where I am. So just whatever you want to guys do for me, just keep getting checks.
Yes,
like I can do that. Absolutely.
And like, but the brilliant thing about Kane, he can work with anybody.
Yeah, like he's been around for so long that like he can do anything.
Yeah,
like he can't have a bad match now. Like,
yeah, I agree. And he was great in tag, especially when you have Daniel Bryan as your partner. Yep. But it's, you know, he was great. Hell, he was great as the Brothers of Destruction. There's two big guys, you know. So, yeah.
And that was when, like, his, like, Undertaker's lame, like biker period.
Yeah, his American badass. Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, this is the Brock Lesnar took out the dead man, but here comes American badass, you know, like.
rolling. Oh, no, not this. No, not this.
I got a taker. You fell so far. Like, I just I blocked that out of my mind that's a thing that never happened, you know.
So, like, the big storyline thing, I guess, on Raw last night was the Shield finally turning like completely face.
Yeah,
this is weird to me because they come out like Stephanie, I guess, like having Kane and like Evolution like on their side to kick like Daniel Bryan's ass wasn't enough.
Right,
it's like we also need the Shield, and I guess she hasn't been watching TV for the past 2 months.
Yeah,
because the Shield haven't been having it for a while.
Yeah, and it's true.
It's like, did they just cut him a check? It's like, hey, here's $1,000. Come just make sure nothing weird happens. And like,
right.
You don't need these guys. And then Kane just lays out everything in front of him.
So good. Oh, but yeah. And I think I think this is the start of catapulting Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing was like a couple months ago, they were obviously on the track to separating these guys.
Yes, exactly.
And, like, it became a little bit obvious that maybe they didn't have anything for him to do, like, afterwards, because, like, Roman was incredible in, like, WrestleMania, and you're right, he's the next guy. It's, like, he's, like, there's, like, this giant machine that, like, produced, like, Daniel Bryan that's producing Cesaro, and, like, Roman is the next guy.
Yeah.
But they can't do anything with him, because as soon as, like, he leaves the Shield, he's going to be a face. He can't, like, wait behind all these people.
Yeah.
So they have to keep the Shield together for a little bit longer.
Yeah, they have to wait for the right time. And I mean, I don't know about you, but there was some weird, like, old school smart mark thing. The fact that you had Seth Rollins, who is in Ring of Honor, his name was Tyler Black. And then you have Dean Ambrose, who in Ring of Honor, his name was Jon Moxley. And they were protecting Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's something oddly poetic for like indie wrestling fans. This is kind of a big deal. And, you know, I don't know where Roman Reigns fits into any of it. Like, I know he did some great shit on NXT, but I'm not sure where – did he start NXT or was it OVW or
– I don't know. Like, he started off as a football guy and, like – well, he's got Samoan ties. So, like, he's got wrestling family. But, like he's the prototypical guy Vince would like.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, like, he's also charismatic as hell and can actually go win the ring.
Yeah, and he's
so
good.
So it's not a huge loss. So,
yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's like a Batista guy.
Sure. Yeah, and he can actually work, and he has he has enough charisma to be able to people will pay attention to him. But yeah, it was that nice moment, and then of course Daniel Bryan gets the knee in. But what was really funny, the match never happened. Like,
no.
This was, it was just a thing. Like, I guess this was showing that okay, now they consider the Shield main event talent.
It kind of happened though, because Evolution comes down, like do all their finishers on Daniel Bryan, then Kane comes down and does his choke slam, and then Triple H comes down with his music with Stephanie again wearing her ridiculous stiletto heels, and he forces the ref to like ring the bell, and the ref's like, look man, he's dead. I can't. This isn't right. I can't ring the bell. Do your job. Ring the fucking bell.
It's so funny.
Yeah, so at that point, the match started, and then the Shield came down, And it was weird because, like, at that point, Triple H could have just pinned him. It's like, oh, shit, they're going to just – I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I better go ahead and get this done. But the Shield decided to take all this time to decide to show up and, like, fix this. So I guess Daniel Bryan lost by DQ. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It was never announced.
I don't – yeah, they didn't even – like, they barely played music. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they were like, I guess we play Daniel Bryan's song now? And then they play it as everyone's kind of already leaving anyway, and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's the end of Raw. Like, it was just very, for as well done as WrestleMania was and how amazingly it ended and how everything came together, the ending of Raw seemed a little like, so there was a lot that just happened here. And,
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, this is clearly building towards a rivalry between Evolution and The Shield.
Yeah, this is the setup. It's like WrestleMania was like the culmination of like a bunch of different storylines,
yeah.
And this felt like, okay, we're going to set a bunch of other stuff into play. Like the Cesaro stuff was brought into play, and the Shield, the next element of the Daniel Bryan Shield is brought into play.
Yeah, and I think them giving Paige the belt was kind of smart because you're like, okay, if we're bringing in Bo Dallas, if we're bringing in Adam or whatever that other guy's name
Adam
is,
Rose.
Adam Rose, then you want to show that the NXT guys are legit. So what better way to do it than a shocking title change that really – I'm not trying to say the Divas division doesn't matter, but whenever everyone's focus is on something else, that brings the Divas division into the picture again. Like, okay, now AJ's not the Diva anymore. Like, she's not the title holder, so it could be anybody.
There's actually a storyline developed, which had to happen in the past year.
Yeah, exactly. For the past 200 whatever days, 295, I think she said.
I think it's just hilarious that during her promo, she managed to like work in like Punk's like streak into it.
Yeah.
She managed to work in like Jericho's like, I'm the best in the world at what I do. She managed to bring in like two or three different like guy wrestler promo like pieces into her speech.
Yeah. So good. But she's getting better on the mic, and she's getting her personality out there, which is good. And, you know, I think more divas need to do that instead of being like characters. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the thing that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way in the Divas division is you had your, okay, here's your sassy Latin woman. Mm-hmm. Here's your, you know, they had these like stereotypes that they fit.
It's like Shimmer. Like if you,
yes.
Like the Hill, here's your country girl,
yep.
A wrestler, and like it's like mid '90s WWE where like everyone had to have like a job in addition to whatever else they do.
Yeah, he's him, and he's a plumber.
Yeah, he's a plumber lady wrestler.
This guy's a hockey player on the side.
This guy repossesses cars, and that's what the Diva division feels like.
I can't believe that was an actual thing, by the way.
Like, yeah, they have promos where he shows up at people's, and you know what? A Repo Man does an important job. It's not like it's an evil, like, it sucks when a Repo Man shows up, trust me, but it's like, it's just a dude doing his job. It's not evil. Why? Yeah. We're going off track here, but, like, why are you... Like,
and it's
why
like,
are you doing this?
And of course, IRS. I can't remember what it stood for, but IRS.
Erwin R. Scheister.
And Scheister.
He's like an evil accountant. He's not like he doesn't work for the IRS. He's an evil accountant. Why do you hate accountants?
His last name is a one letter away from the word shit in German. Like, how brilliant of a booking. Like, oh. Never mind, I'm all for the Divas division doing this again. Like,
sure, why not? Let's have them do something.
Awesome. Like, they have their E! Show, let them come up, and like, Alicia Fox, she wears a fox hat.
Yeah, great. Just bring in Charlotte Flair and just have her destroy everybody, please.
Just have her wear the jacket, all of it. Yeah. All of it.
You know, she was one of, in Triple H's intro for WrestleMania, she was one of the two attendees to her.
Was she the one with the tattoos?
I think so. Well, she was the tall blonde one. So whoever the tallest one was, that was her. I don't think she was the one with the tats.
Yeah, it's because someone else was the one with the tats.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were all NXT divas. So I'm like, yeah, what a cool way to make your WrestleMania deal. Yeah. I mean, hell, Punk made his WrestleMania appearance by being in the mobster car. But yeah, overall, I'm liking the direction this is going. Like,
sure,
where the company is headed.
Yeah, like I'm far more more confident in the direction they're heading than they were like following like Royal Rumble, because that felt like their low point. Like when they refused to let Daniel Bryan just have a spot in the damn match.
Yeah.
You know, and like if everybody felt like, oh guys, you guys are just completely blowing it, and they, like in a matter of like a month, they just turned everything around.
pretty genius. And oddly enough, I think on the dirt sheets and stuff, this was rumored to be the one, the very first pay-per-view where Triple H had full creative control.
Yeah, supposedly, like, he's been having more and more, like, impact in the writing. Like, it, like, and you can tell, because you said before, like, he was a big fan, like, the old school, like, Old South stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, you could tell, like, in this, it's like the swagger Cesaro stuff.
Yeah.
That's old school.
That is. And
just
it's
shit that works.
It's solid. And it works because you got two guys who the fans are already invested in. They already know of each other's careers. You got one guy who's legitimately the face and one guy who's legitimately the heel. Always has been. Everyone knew it. But yeah. Now they get to solidify it and they get to go forward with it.
And just props to Triple H for like willing to like let himself look like a complete like jackass during this entire thing.
Yeah.
Like got his ass beat by Daniel Bryan, got like beat down in the middle of the match, and here he made to look like a fool. So this all this time people say, oh, he just buries everybody. But you know, when it matters, he's in there, he's making everyone look like $1 million and like just basically like making sure the future works.
Yeah, and the stuff he did with the NXT Training Center. The stuff that basically, yeah, he's making some calls like, and Bray Wyatt's a perfect example of this, to where promos are going to start being off script. Like, you're going to, here's kind of what you got to go over. Now go do your thing.
Yeah. And like for a guy like Bray Wyatt, it's just amazing because he can just like improv everything.
Yeah.
That was a big problem for so many years. It's like everything had been so scripted.
Yeah.
Like,
and you could tell. Because these people weren't feeling like themselves. But now, you know, Triple H has called it for the past 3 weeks the reality era.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting to it, you know.
Yeah. And it just makes you feel sad for a guy like Dolph Ziggler. Like it feels like a lot of these guys just peaked like 2 or 3 years too early.
Yeah.
Like Zack Ryder got big 2 years too early. Like if he like come up right now, like they'd be able to make use of him. But now he's done. He's like he's damaged goods right now.
I agree. And the thing, because the perfect place for Dolph Ziggler would be the Val Venus-esque heel.
Yeah.
He would be perfect in the role because he could work with anyone.
Yeah.
He could be that smarmy guy that, you know, you kind of want to hate, but you really can't because he's just too damn good. But he knows he's too damn good, so you hate him even more. You know, like, he could fit that role perfectly.
Right.
And, yeah, I agree. Like, there's these middle children that are just... they're basically only there to prop up the people that came after them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's discouraging, but I think for some reason, I think WWE is keeping some of them in the shadow for a reason. And so they can have another big Cesaro moment.
Well, they don't like bringing guys up unless they have something for them to do, which is good.
Yeah. Especially lately. And I agree. I think the whole dynamic is shifting. It is getting more to that old school style. I think it is poetic that Taker left on his back. I think it's telling of where things are going to go. For right now, it feels like it works. It's easy to say that because the post-WrestleMania Raw crowd is always the best of the year.
It's always good. Yeah.
It's always the best of the year. So if people can be that interested year-round, we've got something, you know. I think they're on the right track. I think they're starting to – they're at the point now to where their merchandise sales could go up for everybody. Like,
sure.
I just want a WWE shirt. Give me whatever you have left in stock. Like, that type of dynamic.
Well, like, even, like, the hated heels. It's like, fucking Wade Bryant leads a band of evil swamp cultists.
Yeah, and
people love him.
Oh, they got so, and it was so beautiful to hear, like, let's go Rowan. And you're like, there's a let's go Rowan chant? Like, where are we?
Wow.
It was just like, let's go Harper. And you're like, that will never happen again. I hate to say it.
Harper's legit. But
I agree. But, you know, it's like, these guys are over. Like, who knew they were that these guys were this over? But it's so good to see it. But now it's so beautiful because the post WrestleMania Raw crowd makes the year. They did it with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
They did it with – they did all the – basically that's when people really started booing Cena.
Yeah. Well, it's like a couple of years back when like Sheamus destroyed like Daniel Bryan in like under a minute.
Yeah.
And like the next night, people just turned on it. It's like, and that, and you're right. That basically made like his legend. It's like people would decide like, "Well, you can't do that. Like, we like him. What's wrong with you?"
Yeah.
And like that basically started this whole thing into effect.
And which was, it's fantastic to see it. And as much as we would give grief to WWE, like, are they actually listening to any of what the fans are saying? Like, they are. They just needed a good time to strike.
I think a lot of it just has to do with like Vince just sitting down for a while too.
I do too. Yeah, and because Vince,
Triple H knows. Triple H has been like with the guys enough. He knows which ones they can trust and which ones they should be given a chance to.
Yeah, and it's curious to bring up the CM Punk thing. I'm wondering if it was more a disagreement with Vince that CM Punk left, well, or
supposedly like Vince like loves CM Punk. The beef, like, of course we're not in the company, so we don't know. But supposedly the beef had always been like Triple H and CM Punk. Like they don't, it's not they don't dislike each other, but they don't get along very well.
Yeah, which I could, so, I could see that. Like just based on Punk's personality and Triple H's, I could totally see that.
Well, it's entirely possible Punk is just done because he's always said like he's not going to hang around very long. He's going to make his money and he's going to leave before he gets crippled. That's always been his deal.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be mega rich. Like he's not stupid as money. Like he can walk away with like $10 million and just be happy for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
It's not like Ric Flair.
Yeah, and that's why he can get away with like leaving and voiding his contract, because once you void your contract, you don't get any residuals. You know, all the money that's been made on T-shirts and stuff just goes to the company, not to CM Punk. So he
and you'll notice like he's gone away. It's like when they did the coffins on WrestleMania night, like they showed off like Undertaker's coffins. Like they didn't show CM Punk's coffin. It was there, they didn't show it.
Yeah, yeah. Like
it's gone.
Yeah, it's so weird. And like even on the network, you go and you look at every single like graphic they have for every single pay per view. CM Punk, I don't think's on any of them right now.
Well, except for the ones like he headlined and he has to be there.
Yeah.
Like he's not like the ones like he did with Cena. Okay, he has to be on the ones with Cena. But,
oh yeah, and like Hell in a Cell where it was him and Heyman and the fire in the background and
yeah,
that makes sense. But yeah, but basically everything else, like I think there's a poster with like R-Truth. I don't even think R-Truth was in the fucking pay-per-view. But like they put him on there instead of Punk.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is a thing. You know, this is a real deal. But yeah, it's one of those that I'm glad. Hopefully the CM Punk chance. I think we'll still hear him every once in a while, especially with AJ going out there. But I don't see it really taking over as much. Because for a while there, I was worried. I was like, Punk leaving could be disastrous for this company.
Well, that was like, oh, wow, he's the only talented top guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, in one night, they make, like, 9 talented top guys.
Which is, I think that's how it's a big middle finger. Like, oh, you think that you're the shit. And in a lot of ways, CM Punk is the shit.
We don't need you so much.
But the spoke, he's a spoke on the wheel. It keeps on turning.
Yep.
But yeah, overall, I think WWE's headed in the right way. But you never know. Global Force Wrestling.
Global Force Wrestling, baby. The future.
Could be it. You're bringing in Jeff Jarrett. Let's see. We're going to bring in
AJ Styles, because he doesn't have a job. Like, anyone who doesn't have a job with TNA right now is going to work for this company.
Every pay-per-view headliner is AJ Styles versus Disco Inferno. Make it happen.
Yeah, I just want to see like James Storm get checks. Just help him out.
And he deserves it, man. Beer Money was one of the best tag teams I've ever seen. Yeah. Him and Bobby Roode, just unbelievable. But yeah, just Sting's a freelancer.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing before we head out. Like, Sting was supposed to be on last night. All the dirt sheets said, oh, Sting's going to appear on Raw. Not there. And you
And almost thank God, right? Like, if I think...
Like, there'll be no space for him. It's like, what would he even do?
Yeah, exactly. The only way they could bring him on, Vicky Guerrero gets fired or Brad Maddox gets fired as GM.
Yeah.
And then they're like, who could we have as our GM? And then Sting walks out with a baseball bat. Because, like, what better way for old grumpy man Sting swinging his baseball bat like, no, this is a fatal four-way match now. And then peace, you know. Yeah. Like, I think it'd be great, you know, just because he's done his dumb Joker character where he's delusional anyway. So make it a thing.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sell some masks.
Yeah, exactly. Get people dressing up as shit. Like, go for it. You know, because that's sad. That's the only sad thing is, like, I think Bray Wyatt is your only real character that you can dress up as now. Yep. Maybe Fandango if you get a giant peacock jacket. But like, Bray Wyatt, you can actually, with the hat, he has, like, an iconic look to him.
Yeah, no, but no one has a mask. Like, since Ray's gone, basically, no one has a mask anymore.
Yeah. So, and I mean, they can't do spiky hair with Zack Ryder, you know.
I guess you can put on, like, wristbands and be John Cena.
Yeah, because that's all really John Cena does anyway. He has his fucking street clothes on, and he just puts on a wristband and a hat.
Fucking John Deere hat. God damn it, I hate John Cena. Anyway, yeah. We've gone on for 2 hours.
That's 2 hours, but it was good. That is WrestleCast, number two.
WrestleCast.
Yeah. We're going to be like Taker, and we're going to do it once a year. We're going to make it amazing.
We're going to shock you. Like, maybe the entire world has changed, so maybe.
Maybe, who knows? Fuck. Like, oh, man, like, nothing is sacred anymore. Like, it feels like
we have a world of wrestling before us with the network. So
a new frontier. And that might be where the young guys go. You never know. You never know. Like, Main Event plays live all the time. NXT, they're probably going to make some other show. You never know. But anyway, WrestleMania, awesome. Raw, awesome.
Awesome, yep. Hope everything stays awesome.
Yeah.
At some point, it'll suck, but right now, everything's great.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels good.
Watch wrestling, right. People.
Yeah, everyone should watch wrestling. And all those people that say that it's fake, it's still real to me, damn it.
All TV is
fake. Still real to me, damn it.
Support your local indies, too. Like, drop me 15 bucks.
Yeah, go to the Y. Watch some young guys. You never know who you're going to see.
You can see the next. You can see the next Cesaro. That's right. There's literally no joke about that.
Absolutely. But
all right, guys.
It's been fun. Thank you, Mr. Mark Bradshaw. We're going to see.
Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, we're going to be in the ether. We're just waiting in the shadows, and we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Into a nosedive! Hulk Hogan. Push yourself to total self-destruction. As you realize, Hulk Hogan, you are about to enter a world close to parts unknown. Oh, smell it, warriors. Do you, Hulk Hogan, look for a place to hide? Or do you, Hulk Hogan, face that challenge that may be more powerful than even you are, Hulk Hogan? You, Hulk Hogan, must self-destruct so that you will know, Hulk Hogan, who is the Chosen One. For Hulk Hogan!